43 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by John Elway Auto Nation. University of Colorado head football coach Gary Barnett has been placed on administrative leave. Reporter Chris Gallegos has more from Boulder.
Just minutes after the announcement was made he was suspended, a defiant Coach Barnett addressed the media in the shadow of Folsom Field. Apologizing for appearing insensitive or for offending anyone, Barnett said his statements were misinterpreted and that he liked and respected former kicker Katie Hinida. He said regardless of her abilities, he wanted her in the CU program. Calling himself a team player, Barnett says he'll accept the school's decision even though he disagrees with it. Athletic Director Dick Tharp says an interim coach should be named by Friday. Chris Gallegos, Boulder.
Most of the elected officials who've been keeping their eyes on the University of Colorado sex assault allegation scandal agree with the actions taken by CU President Hoffman in placing Barnett on paid administrative leave. Colorado Governor Bill Owen says the actions by Hoffman were both appropriate and necessary. However, CU Regent Jerry Rutledge of Colorado Springs says he's disappointed. Rutledge is a friend of Barnett. Other regents were supportive of Hoffman's decision. State Senator Ron Tupa, a Democrat of Boulder, says that it was a good move because Barnett was becoming a distraction, and having him on leave and out of the way will give the investigators the ability to do their job without worrying about Barnett. Meanwhile, there's more bad news for the University of Colorado. Boulder Police will release a police report on yet another allegation of sexual assault at the hands of a CU buff later this afternoon. The latest allegation occurred in August of 2001. Boulder Police aren't discussing details until the release of a redacted report. This makes six sexual assault allegations against CU football players. As you can tell from looking at the sky, the weather has changed from the 70-degree temperatures we had yesterday. Forecasters say the foothills could see up to 8 inches of snow, with 2 to 4 inches elsewhere in the metro area. Storm should move out quickly, though, probably by about midnight tonight, and snow is expected to start falling sometime this afternoon and probably hitting its peak right around rush hour. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper looking for a new brand identity for Denver. Yesterday, he convened a large meeting of 170 public relations professionals to come up with a new slogan for the city. Three themes have been tested on target audiences, and the one with the best response has been Denver is an energizing place to be, where people get the most out of every day. The slogan, the Mile High City, is still active, but Hickenlooper is looking for a new image for Denver. Former Enron CEO Jeff Skilling has pleaded not guilty to more than 40 criminal charges stemming from the collapse of the energy giant. He entered his plea in federal court today after surrendering to the FBI in Houston. Skilling is charged with fraud, insider trading, and making false financial statements. Deputy U.S. Attorney General James Comey formally announced the indictment. He said the indictment shows that no corporate executive is too prominent or too powerful to escape the long arm of the law. The nation's largest labor union is going to work for John Kerry. The AFL-CIO endorsed the Democratic presidential frontrunner during a rally in Washington, D.C. Speaking about jobs, affordable health care, and trade policies, Kerry accepted the endorsement of the union, which represents more than 13 million U.S. workers.
Today we stand united in a common cause, and that common cause is not just to defeat George Bush, but it is to put our country back on track, on the road of prosperity, the road of fairness, the road of jobs.
Kerry promised that if elected in November, he would work to repeal tax cuts that have provided relief to those making more than $200,000 a year. The AFL-CIO endorsement comes at an important time as the primary day dubbed Super Tuesday is less than 2 weeks away. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan reportedly backs the U.S. view that Iraq's interim government cannot be directly elected this summer. UN envoy Lakhdar Brahimi said that he has hopes that the UN's recommendation will be accepted.
I hope that everybody will listen to us, and Ayatollah Sistani and I had a very, very good discussion, and I think he, like everybody else, realizes that the United Nations has no agenda except to help them, and that if we tell them something, it is because we strongly believe it's in the interest of Iraq.
Brahimi led the technical team that assessed how and when Iraq may hold direct elections. With 2 hours left in today's trading session, stocks are mixed at this hour. The Dow up 67 points, the Nasdaq down a fraction of a point, the S&P 500 up nearly 3. In sports, both the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche off tonight. They'll both get back to work on the road tomorrow. The Nuggets will be in Orlando to play the Magic, while the Avs head to Dallas to take on the Stars. Buying a new vehicle at John Elway is worry-free. Get a low, no-haggle price, a special price match guarantee, and a 3-day, 150-mile money-back guarantee with a John Elway new vehicle. Honest. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
If it weren't for George Bush and John Kerry, Michael Jackson and Kobe Bryant, what would we have to talk about?
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Don't worry, we're on it. Hear the Who Does What next on Denver's AM 1150, KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over a dollar a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Albertsons. Eastbound Boulder Turnpike at I-25 trying to clean up an accident right there at the merge. Havana and Hampton, an accident, 14th and Quebec. And we're seeing some slowing due to the tunnel at I-225 at I-25 as well as the spillway lane shift. You're going to see slow traffic from Parker all the way to I-25 on southbound 225. Hop on the Albertsons Rice Bowl Express every Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. Buy one delicious rice bowl for $3.49. Get one egg roll free. Limit 4. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. Enid Goldstein's next on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Here comes some snow. We have a winter weather advisory issued by the National Weather Service. We're looking at snow starting this afternoon. May start as rain, though. But then as tonight heads our way, we're going to see widespread snow accumulating 3 to 6 inches. Morning highs in the 40s, then temperatures falling toward freezing. Tonight, widespread snow down to 24, and tomorrow, sunshine in 41. Sun and clouds in 40s for Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy now, 67 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Well, what am I doing here today? I wasn't supposed to be here. I was supposed to be at the Choices Lunch, where a luncheon at the Colorado Convention Center, where Marilee Matlin, who I think she can speak, although she can't hear. I hope I'm not being too horrible about that. It was speaking, and she was replacing Goldie Hawn, and this is a money, this is a luncheon that raises a lot of money for good charitable causes in the Jewish community. And I was to be the guest of Evelinda Ehrman and Judy Schwartz. And because this is such a big story, and I came in last night, if you were a really devoted AM 1150 KNRC listener, what happened was I was swimming last night, which I do just about every day actually, and it was late, and there's a TV set in the locker room, and suddenly the news is on, and I hear they're standing by for breaking news, and what's a breaking news story? Here's President Elizabeth Hoffman, CU president, and she's side by side with the chancellor, and they're making an announcement, and I'm thinking, what's this about? And it's about putting Coach Barnett on administrative leave. He's still going to get paid. I love these administrative leave things where you don't have to do anything and you still get paid. Work. Yeah, Joe wants to be on administrative leave. Well, maybe. Just kidding. Anyway, I rush home, and I'm listening to KNRC. We're carrying it, and everybody's carrying it on the radio. And now I get home, and I tune in to Channel 9, and they've already broken away from it. I then go to 7. 7's got it. I stay with 7, then 7 bags out. I go to 4. 4 is carrying it, and they carried it very long. And then, and at a certain point, they broke away while the press conference was still underway. And I went to my radio, and we were handling it. So I thought I would come on in and do a special edition of Enid Live, which I did last night until midnight. And we got a number of calls. I was rather surprised that we would, because typically we are doing Lionel in that time period, or Alan Combs. I forget what it is we're carrying. What are we carrying, Jordan, from in those hours? Do we know? Well, I think we've got Lionel. Well, we've got Michael Reagan on until 9 o'clock, and then we go into Lionel till, what, about midnight, I think, or so? Anyway, so it is not, it's a syndicated show. You really, it's not local, though it is live. And so here I was, and we got a number of calls, and I was supposed to be at the luncheon today, but this is such an important story. I think it's better that I be here, and I thank T.R. Reid, who will be filling in for me next week. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. next week, Thursday and Friday. So he will be in for me, and I thank him for being available today, but he had many other things to do, too, so he was happy to be off the hook. So 303-382-1150 is the number. Here is commentary in the Rocky Mountain News, one bombshell too many. What do you think about the fact that Coach Barnett has been placed on suspension? You know what? That is just the beginning. What about Dick Tharp? I don't know what it is about. I was thinking about what it is about these dicks. We've got a couple of them running the White House, and we're going to have two Johns, one of two Johns, as the Democratic candidate up against the two dicks. Make of that what you will. And we have Dick Tharp, who is running the athletic department. And I don't think that you stop with Coach Barnett. What's your feeling about this? 303-382-1150. Coach Barnett's comments were so egregious. And we talked about this yesterday. If you were listening to the show yesterday, all the things that I said ought to be done got done last night. I don't know if they were listening to the show, or maybe great minds think alike. Who knows? But see, it was smart finally when it finally bestirred itself to act. When you're doing what is called in public relations crisis management, you really got to make it decisive. You've got to cut your losses quickly. You want to stem the tide. And Betsy Hoffman making the announcement that she did, that Coach Barnett was going to be on suspension, administrative leave, was, I think, exactly the right thing to do, but I don't think it goes far enough. And this business, I hope they don't stay with this idea of putting somebody in charge of the athletic department as a liaison, or her eyes and ears as liaison. That doesn't do anything about cleaning house. That does nothing about altering the culture of the athletic department. And what she seemed to be very upset about was the fact that there were allegations of a rape that occurred in 2001 that she knew nothing about. Only the details were only beginning to emerge. There had been a police report filed with the Boulder Police Department, but at that time, Coach Barnett said to the young woman who worked in the athletic department, apparently she was at her home, and one of the football players was at her home. He was a lot bigger than she was. They were watching TV. He forced himself on her. She said 10 times, no, no, no. He was bigger than she was. She wasn't able to overcome his advances. So she goes and she files a report. Now, this is 2001. It's a different climate than it is now in 2004. So still risky for women to come forward. Here he is, a team player, a football player. Here she is, somebody who works in the athletic department. She files a police report, and Coach Barnett tells her that this isn't going to go anywhere, that he is going to support his players 100%, and he's letting her know that she's putting herself in jeopardy by making this thing public in any way, shape, or form. So his job was to make this thing go away. Interesting, because go back to 2001. You're the coach. You have just ramrodded. You have just rolled over, mowed over somebody who I'm assuming is a lot younger and certainly more vulnerable. You have made this thing go away, and don't you feel smug about it? And you've made it go away for all these years, and then suddenly, without warning, 3 years later, it surfaces in the worst possible environment, at the worst possible moment, at the worst possible time for your own personal career, it surfaces. And there's a book by Malcolm Gladwell. He writes for The New Yorker called The Tipping Point. And at the tipping, you know, things can start to go, 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 and then you reach a tipping point. It's kind of like when you're on a seesaw, when you're on a teeter-totter, and you reach that point and it goes right, you know, it just clunks the other direction completely. And that is what seems to have happened at CU. So here you have Gary Barnett, who's in some ways, he certainly bears a lot of responsibility, but he's only the tip of the iceberg. What about Dick Tharp, the athletic director, who seemed to know about this incident in 2001? They all thought they handled it, and they all kept it from the president, who didn't know anything about it until it surfaced, I guess, yesterday or within the past little while. What are your thoughts on Barnett being on administrative leave? 303-382-1150 while an investigation is conducted. Do you believe for one second that this investigation is going to exonerate Coach Barnett? And here's the team who had that had such a terrible record last season. At no extra charge, they get this. It's one thing if you've got a completely winning team. I think they probably will cut you a lot of slack, a lot more slack. But when your team is in the dumper to begin with, and then to have all this these machinations going on, insult to injury as far as I can see. Where Barnett really got himself into the soup, and the tipping point for him, was when KV Nida came forward and said, alleged that she was raped in the year 2000. So a year before this new case emerges, that is on file with the Boulder Police Department. And why the Boulder Police Department didn't notify the president is interesting. Maybe they just work with the head of the athletic department. They put the athletic people thought they put a lid on it, and that was it, and it didn't have to go any higher, and the president didn't have to know about it, and they didn't have to be in the soup. So here's what, as you have heard me say, this is what Coach Barnett said after Katie Nida came forward publicly with the allegations that she was raped by a player, a teammate. He said, it was obvious Katie was not very good. She was awful. Katie was not only a girl, she was terrible. Okay, there's no other way to say it. Now, that all may be true. Maybe he believes that. But I'm asking you, is this the right thing to say when someone has just come forward with allegations of rape? And when he, did you hear his press conference last night? I don't know if we have the beginning of the press conference, but when he started to speak, he talked about, he said, well, I'm sorry, you know, his apology consisted of along the lines of, well, I'm sorry if my, my comments were taken out of context or they were misinterpreted. In other words, he didn't even take responsibility for saying what he said. Do we have that, Jordan? We'll look for it? We don't know. All right, we're going to see if we can find it somewhere. Meanwhile, let's go to the phones. You may want to comment about this. This is the top story. It's a national story. 303-382-1150. Dan, calling from Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, just commenting on the Gary Barnett story. And you know, I support the administrative leave. In fact, I think that that Tharp and Barnett should actually be terminated. But regarding his comments,
well, they do have to do an investigation. But I'm with you. I think Tharp, you know, you've got there's a culture rooted in that athletic department, and it's got they've got to do some serious house cleaning.
Yeah, you got to clean house to cleanse the whole program. But regarding his comment yesterday, the fact that he called her horrible in the context of her allegations is bad in itself. But further to that, he mentioned that, you know, you generate respect by, you know, if you're a good player, they'll respect you, and that you could be 90 years old and generate respect if you were good.
Oh, so then if you're a good player, they won't rape you, but if you're a bad player, they'll rape you as your reward? Is that the deal?
It's so surprising to hear that he would tie respect just to being a good player. I mean, so you're a naturally gifted athlete and you're good, but you're a thug, and that should generate respect. I mean, I actually played college football, and I can tell you that you respect, you know, individuals who work hard and who give their best as much or more than you would for someone just being a great athlete or a good football player. So I'm a little surprising he took it to that level, discounting the fact that someone would want to try hard, would want to improve, would want to do the right thing, go to meetings, work out, and versus just the performance on the field. That surprised me as much as anything.
Well, I think in a university setting, it would be a very, they're so fixated on winning. We are so corrupted. One of the questions I asked yesterday, what is the Catholic Church and the CU scandal, what do they have in common? And believe me, I'm not trying to diss the Roman Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that many serious Catholics are mortified at the revelation of priest abuses. But there's been a huge corruption. Winning at all costs, money becomes the bottom line, not being number one at any price. And here you have a university setting where this would be a wonderful teaching opportunity. Let's say that Katie Nida was not the greatest athlete in the world, that you support your teammates regardless, and in the support of your teammates who may not be as up to snuff as some of the other teammates, you all bring yourselves up to a level together instead of raping each other. That would be a really good and powerful lesson to learn.
No, absolutely. It appears that New Mexico, they've learned that, because Rocky Long's comments were she never misses meetings, she works as hard as anyone, she attends all the weight room sessions, and granted, the chances of her playing and being the number one or two kicker are just not going to happen. But I think everyone knew that going in and agreed to play by the ground rules, that she had to participate just like everyone else.
Right.
So, I mean, my last comment was, I think, you know, if you keep this you know, if you're a CU fan, I would say, you know, this whole situation, you know, is an easy way for them to get rid of Gary Barnett just based on performance. I mean, I believe his record is 33-28. 1 year was 10-3, so exclude that year, and I can't believe that CU fans would be overly pleased with not just the direction of the program, excluding the scandal, but just his record. I mean, just take Gary Barnett on his performance, and if I'm Katie or anyone else, I might say and put it right back at him and say, well, Barnett, how can people respect if they look at your performance?
Well, all right, so look at his performance. His performance isn't very good. It stinks.
Awful. You could say the same thing.
But look at it in every way. Look at all the barometers that you can measure performance. Is the team winning? No, it's not a winning team. And it's not a winning team off the field when all these things are allowed to occur. And it sounds to me like the more desperate they get because they are not a winning team, the more they will pull out all the stops in terms of recruiting athletes, top athletes, and that means sex, drugs, rock and roll. So I think in every way it has been the barometers here have pointed to failure on the part of the athletic department, and they really have got a clean house. Dan, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I got this email from Scott. He says, Enid, I listened to the sports talk radio yesterday just to hear about the CU situation. Notice that both the callers and the hosts wound up attacking either Mary Keenan, Lisa Simpson, Katie Nida, or Betsy Hoffman. They attack one or more of the women, yet if you point it out to them, they outrageously claim they are not sexist. Reminds me of the 50s and 60s when the Southern Rednecks used to deny their racism. Lester Maddox, Bull Connor, George Wallace all claimed they were not racist, and in their own minds they weren't. Racist, sexist, anti-Semites, homophobes, they act as such but angrily deny the label pathetic. And this is from Scott. Now, what I want to say about talk conservative radio, that a lot of people who are nasty, angry, and mean call themselves conservatives, and I don't believe that they are actually true conservatives. And when you listen to conservative radio around here anyway, at the Walmart across the way, for example, what you're going to hear is a lot of woman bashing, a lot of liberal bashing, because they don't have any original ideas, so they have to go after somebody. They define themselves by who they're angry at, and they define themselves by a mean-spiritedness that I think is off the charts. You may wish to comment about that. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Arturo, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
I just wanted to mention something. I think it's time for Governor Bill Owens to step into play and stop saying that, that the CU needs to take care of this on its own. I mean, if it's six women, this is a guy that, I don't know if you heard, but I read today in El Hispano, in the Spanish language newspaper here.
Yeah.
That he's being considered by some group of Republicans as a possible substitute for Dick Cheney in the upcoming elections, because Dick Cheney's in so much trouble that they should probably put him over there. But, I mean, here in Colorado, he's not showing any leadership by allowing their own school to do this.
Well, he did, in his defense, and I've never been much of a supporter of Bill Owens, in his defense, he did finally write a scathing letter to Betsy Hoffman, and said to her, if you don't do something, we will. So I thank you for the call, Arturo. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have a full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508, or online at ipfunding.com.
The Colorado Association of Nonprofit Organizations recognizes the valuable people who donate their time to our nonprofits. Celebrate Colorado Nonprofit Week by joining CAMPO at their annual luncheon at the Adams Mark Hotel on Friday, March 5th, as they honor this year's award winners. Sponsor a table for your organization or purchase individual tickets by going to www.campo.org. Support CAMPO on Friday, March 5th, and celebrate the hope that Colorado nonprofits generate throughout the year. AM 1150 KNRC is your breaking source for news, talk, and information regarding the scandal involving the CU football program. Wednesday night, thanks to our News 4 partnership, we carry live the news conference of CU President Betsy Hoffman.
We have placed head football coach Gary Barnett on administrative leave with pay, pending the outcome of the internal investigation and the independent investigating committee.
And later, football coach Gary Barnett.
I sincerely regret that yesterday a portion of my remarks were either misinterpreted or taken out of context. And I apologize for answering that question in a manner where I must have come across as insensitive.
Then AM 1150 Zenith Goldstein did a special live local talk to get your reaction to the breaking story.
Gary Barnett said things that I was just amazed. It was so inappropriate. However he may have felt. Charles calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
He's not taking responsibility for it and should have been fired.
We're serving you with the best radio talk in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC. AM 1150 KNRC continues expanding our local programming. Now live and local on weekends.
You never hear that kind of talk. At least I haven't.
Listen to Darren Copeland live Saturday and Sunday afternoons exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:27 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And joining us, Rocky Mountain News columnist Mike Litwin, who has a wonderful column in today's paper. And the headline is, wow, that was some slap on the wrist. Mike, thanks for coming on today.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I loved your column.
Oh, thanks.
Tell us what it said for those who haven't seen it.
Well, it basically said that that even though CU finally decided to do something, that it once again was creeping along on little cat's paws here, afraid to do the right and the just and thing instead of now going for two more months of some internal investigation when the story is right there in front of them.
Exactly right. But do they have to do that for employment reasons, employment law, contractual reasons?
I think there are contractual concerns, obviously, but they've been driven by contractual concerns and by lawsuit concerns. When you have professors in itself to be a great university, you'd think that principals might come somewhere in that listing of concerns.
Well, how far after money do you think principals come?
Principal and interest, right? That's
what they taught us
back in school.
All right, let's talk about Dick Tharp, heading up the athletic department. I think he's got to go. I don't see how he can stick around, and I don't see how they can even pretend that they're rooting out this kind of culture by putting somebody who's only a liaison in between the president and the athletic department.
The liaison is a temporary assignment, and it's an admission that they're not convinced that they're getting the truth from Dick Tharp. So I'm sort of confused by this sort of dual thinking in that they're give full support to Tharp, and yet they put a liaison in because they're not sure that Tharp is telling them the correct story. So my guess is that Tharp will not survive this.
No, I don't think so either.
So that's my guess on how it'll play out.
How many people have to go before there really is a house cleaning in that department? So if you take away Tharp and if you take away Barnett, what have you got left?
Well, I mean, here's the problem with intercollegiate athletics as a whole. I mean, it's a corrupt, ugly game.
Right.
And everyone knows that. And the question for any university that's in big time athletics is how corrupt you're willing to be and where the lines are that need to be drawn. And I think it's CU that they haven't come to this sort of grips with where the lines are yet. And they need to bring in people that will, at minimum, not embarrass the university. And I think that's going to be the first step in figuring out how to get themselves out of this mess. Because, I mean, you know, at this point, CU is a national story and it's a national laughingstock.
My guest is Mike Litwin, columnist for the Rocky Mountain News. Headline of his piece today, wow, that was some slap on the wrist. When you ask the question, how corrupt are you willing to be as a university in a game that everybody knows is corrupt and sleazy, when the team is losing, it has such a losing record, it seems to me that there's a correlation that the university was willing to be more corrupt, not less, because they were more desperate to recruit players and they were willing to do whatever it took to get those players, it looks like.
Well, CU's not necessarily just completely losing. I mean, they were Big 12 champions a couple of years ago. They've been in some big bowls and over the last six, 8 years.
Yeah, but in the last year or so, they have not done well.
Yeah, but these recruiting problems go back several years, not necessarily to this year. And in the recruiting years where they had these problems, they weren't necessarily doing poorly. It's the problem is culture rather than. Necessarily wins and losses. And the irony of this is that Barnett was brought in because the previous coach, Rick Neuheisel, was seen as not being strict enough, not being a disciplinarian, and that Barnett was brought in to shore that up and to be the kind of tough guy who doesn't, you know, no-nonsense kind of coach, doesn't allow this kind of thing to happen. So...
And was he
apparently
able
to go to Plan B?
Well, was he able to clean things up a little bit? Because
doesn't look like it.
Well, it sounds like he was able to do some cosmetic cleanup, but that fundamentally how he protected himself was a kind of deniability.
Well, I mean, writing down rules is not the issue. I mean, you can write down almost all colleges have the right rules. As I said, there's this dichotomy because everyone knows that everyone has rules and everyone knows that the rules are broken. And every university who participates in big time athletics is complicit in this. I mean, there's a lot of winking going around. So the question is, again, is just how corrupt you're willing to be and where are the lines drawn? I wrote this the other day that, where lines clearly have to be drawn is that one of the first is that there's not a sense among athletes at your university that the women on your campus are there at your pleasure
or that are physically at risk.
Well, exactly, but I'm saying this is just a starting point. Forget it. I mean, that's sort of obvious. But I mean, but even beyond that, there isn't this sense that because you're an athlete, you have these sort of rights and privileges. And so that's one starting place.
Mike, I have to jump in here because yeah. I am taken by the fact that this woman, the most recent allegations after Katie Nida, the woman who filed a police report in 2001, she files a report. Barnett gives her a coming to Jesus where he says, you go publicly with this and I will support my players 100%. She realizes what's going to happen. And I think, what does she do? The charges are dropped just a short time afterwards. And so nothing happens. The president isn't made aware of it. Barnett and Tharp believe that they have effectively squelched something. And then, much to their dismay, 3 years later, because these things often have a way of unraveling at the most inopportune moments, 3 years later, here it is, front page news. It didn't go away. It wasn't squelched. The smugness that they enjoyed for that period of time comes back to slap them in the chops with interest.
Well, if that report is true, and, you know, you've probably read enough police reports to know that they're not always 100% accurate. But if that report is true, then he needs to be fired immediately. There's no question that that's a firing offense. And it may, in fact, be obstruction of justice. I'm not a lawyer. But there may be some legal ramifications there. You cannot, whether he can do it legally or not, you cannot morally, ethically intimidate a young woman into not filing a police report and making a charge against one of your players. And I mean, if nothing else had happened, if there had been no other violations of any kind, the program had been 100% clean except for that, if that were true, that's a firing offense without question. And there is some question whether in the police report it suggests that Tharp was in the room, but Betsy Hoffman says that she believes that's not true, so I don't know one way or the other.
My guess
I'm sort of surprised that Betsy Hoffman did not question Barnett on this issue.
She ought to be up there. She ought to be up there with George Bush. What didn't you know, and when didn't you know it?
Well, before she made this, before she had this news conference last night, I understand. You know, to me, the whole thing might have been cleared up today. If she had talked to him last night about that, he might be fired today. Because there was somebody else in the room. We don't know who that person was. It was either Tharp or somebody else. Somebody else was in the room with the woman and the player, according to the police report. It shouldn't be that hard to sort of get at the truth of that meeting.
I want to say one other thing, Mike. I know you have to go.
Yeah.
My guest, Mike Litwin, columnist for the Rocky Mountain News. When Gary Barnett made those outrageous statements about how what a terrible player, what does he say here? I have it here. It was obvious Katie was not very good. She was awful, he said. Katie was not only a girl. She was terrible. Okay, there's no other way to say it. I mean, to say that in the face of, however true it may be, to say that in the face of rape allegations is beyond insensitive. This man has got to have an IQ hovering at zero. And then when he begins his press conference last night, if you noticed, he started out by taking virtually no responsibility. Well, my comments were taken out of context and they may have been misinterpreted. And so his non-apology apology. I mean, from a common sense point of view, this guy is a zero.
He doesn't get it. And question of, you know, when you talk about whether he should be fired or not, if I would personally not want a person who speaks that way to be representative, very public representative of my university.
Mike Litwin, thank you so much for joining us today. Mike, take a look at his column in the Rocky Mountain News. It's superb, as always. Delighted that you could come in on such short notice.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, bye-bye. Mike. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Let's go very quickly. Tim in Boulder, you've been waiting a long time. Hi, you're live with Ina.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
You got to have your radio off. Oh, I think he doesn't. He gave up on us. I mean, Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Cloudy, scattered rain and snow showers, 41 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Home Depot. A huge change in the weather today with rain showers turning to snow. Forecasters say the foothills could see up to 8 inches and 2 to 4 inches in other parts of the metro area. It's a fast-moving storm, so it should be out by midnight. Boulder Police will release a police report this afternoon with a sixth allegation of sexual assault by a University of Colorado player. Boulder Police aren't discussing the details until the release of the report. The latest allegation concerns an incident in August of 2001. Denver International Airport has gotten another A rating on its debt. The latest rating from the Finch Agency shows a follows a similar rating from Standard & Poor's in January. Increased passenger traffic and improved lease with United and growth by Frontier are responsible for the improved rating. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets both off tonight. They'll both be on the road tomorrow with the Avs in Dallas to play the Stars and the Nuggets in Orlando taking on the Magic. Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot At Home Services. Visit your local store today for more info. Trust the Home Depot At Home Services. License numbers available upon request. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein.
KNRC.
We have to talk.
The following is a real conversation between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber. It took place November 20th, 2003.
OnStar Emergency, this is John.
Hey, John, I got a little girl here. I think she's wandered away from home. She doesn't know where she lives.
Oh, all right. I have your vehicle located on Whipple Street. I'll go ahead and contact the police for you, sir.
Police Department, can I help you?
Yes, this is John with OnStar. I have a gentleman online just calling to report a small child who was just wandering about. He is at Whipple Street. Do you mind if I contact him?
Sure.
Yes, sir. I have the police on the line.
How old is the child?
About 4, blonde hair.
Okay, because someone's missing their child. You stay right there. The officer is en route.
Thank you very much.
More than happy to help. Definitely want to make sure she makes it home safely.
Many GMC trucks and SUVs are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your GMC dealer or GMC.com.
Have the police arrived yet?
They have arrived, and they're going to try and find her parents. I think one of them's running down the street toward her right now. Thank you very much.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
KNRC News Time is 12:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Subway. Accident involving a pedestrian, Colfax and Ogden. Watch for injuries and a lot of delays on Colfax. Slow traffic southbound 225 from Parker to I-25. And on northbound I-25 between the University Curve and the Stadium Curve, you're going to see some heavy traffic. Not sure the reason, just too many cars, not enough road. Counting carbs, try Subway's new salads like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb-controlled dressings. Also try Subway's new carb-controlled wraps. Eat fresh. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Doug Kellett 3 to 6 in the afternoons on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our winter weather advisory remains in effect through tonight. We're looking for about 2 to 4 inches of snow total from this storm as it moves in and changes over. Temperatures will be falling down around the freezing mark as we head through the day. And then tonight, we'll be falling back into the low 20s as the snow continues. The sunshine comes back tomorrow, highs in the low 40s, clouds in mid-40s on Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy sky. Scattered rain and snow showers, 41 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1241. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. Datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. Datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. Datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Target is adding a nickel today after posting better-than-expected earnings thanks to strong sales at its stores. The Marshall Field's department store chain, part of the Target empire, also saw profits rise some 15%. Jennifer Waters follows the retail sector for Market Watch.
Marshall Field's, for the first time in many, many quarters, reported a profit. And they talked about it on a conference call, how they were excited about that because they saw that they were putting a lot of initiatives into the store to finally get a profit going, and they got it.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average adding 66, the NASDAQ sliding a fraction, the S&P 500 is up 4, and Northwest Airlines is closing its last ticket offices in the U.S., affecting 25 outlets across some 16 cities from Seattle in the west to New York in the east. Northwest, at last check, is adding a quarter on that news. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
First, I want to emphasize that I am not speaking on behalf of the university football program, University of Colorado. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I sincerely regret that yesterday a portion of my remarks were either misinterpreted or aired out of context. And I apologize for answering that question in a manner where I must have come across as insensitive. What I wanted to communicate was that regardless of Katie Knight's abilities, I wanted Katie on our football team. I wanted to give her a chance to be a part of our program. I want to reaffirm my feelings and remarks that I made yesterday. I am very sensitive to Katie's allegations. I want to do whatever I can to help Katie. As to the police report released earlier this evening, all I can say is that I believe there are some inaccuracies in the police report. Otherwise, I will address that in the future if it becomes appropriate. I'm a team player, and I'll accept what President Hoffman's decisions. Well, while I do not agree with it,
I will deal with it like I would expect one of my players to handle his consequences. So.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1244 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. What am I doing here? I was supposed to be at a luncheon today, but this is a big story. And I'm here with you, and we'll be here with you until 3 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, you missed Mike Litwin, but you ought to check out his column in today's Rocky Mountain News. He's calling what happened at CU and the placing of Coach Barnett on administrative leave a slap on the wrist. I think they've really got a clean house, and I think Dick Tharp is going to be the next one to go. 303-382-1150. Let's go to the phones. Tim in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I just discovered your show, and I must say it's a delight to hear intelligence on the radio.
Thank you. How'd you find us?
I just grew so disgusted with what I was hearing. I just played around a little with the dial, and I heard you, and just in a few days. So,
well, thank you.
I have a couple of comments about the topic. I live just off of campus, so I live among the students here, and I just like to – I love Boulder, but the CU is a very extreme, I think, college campus. The kids here – are extremely wealthy. Most of them drive around in large, new, shiny, spanky, clean SUVs. They don't work, and I would say probably class is somewhere in the bottom half of the top 10 of their priorities. And I don't
wait. Class is where in the top 10 of their priorities?
In the bottom half of that somewhere. probably.
These are kids. CU kids are kids from real rich families. Is that true?
Yeah,
why is that true? Why does that? It's a state school. Why is that the case?
Well, I think there are a lot of out-of-state kids, and they come here because of the lifestyle and the winter sports. They have the snow. A lot of them have snowboards and skis, et cetera.
And because it's a party school, this attracts other partiers from around the country.
Oh yeah.
What's the tuition if you're out of state at CU?
I'm not a student, and I couldn't answer that, but I think it's pretty high.
I would think
so. They contribute a large amount of the taxes that, you know, that's very helpful to Boulder, but a lot of other stuff they offer isn't quite so pleasant.
So how does this relate to the athletic department? Because here you've got, you're saying the kids are rich, they drive around in fancy cars, going to class is low on the priority list. So the case you're making is what, Tim?
Well, I'm saying I'd like to tie that in with another point, and that is the culture of football altogether. And I'm saying that what happened at CU is not at all outside the realm of the culture of football, but it's a little extreme in conjunction with maybe the kind of extreme entitlement atmosphere here at CU. And, you know, I played high school football. I was a good player, but I was too small. These kids in high school – they explode physically, not mentally, not intelligently, but they physically explode.
Their gonads have been turned into mushroom clouds, yes.
and they get, you know, they get tremendous energy. My sophomore year, we went to the state championship game, and there was tremendous energy drawn into the player, offered to the players. The women, you know, women were drawn, a lot of the women were real, they were the most popular guys on campus. They had, this is just high school level. And, you know, because I didn't grow, I was kind of in that position of that kicker of being ostracized somewhat, and I was never raped, but these, you know, violated, you could say, quite, yeah, definitely. And the interesting part is the really good players wouldn't bother with, you know, they were kind of nice guys. It was just the kind of average players that had that mean streak, you know. So I'm saying,
in other words, in order to compensate, it was the average players who were doing the rapings and the gropings and whatever.
Well, in the case of other males, it was just cruelties like
bullying. All right. Well, we don't have a lot of time to go into it, but so Tim, your point is this: what? That the culture is such that it elevates these football players to almost godlike status. The good ones aren't the ones who are doing the rapings. It's the average to mediocre ones who are bullying and mean and groping women. Is that what your point is?
Yeah, and what's happening at CU is notorious but not unusual. And unless something changes in the whole overall scheme of things,
It's going to be same old. Tim, I thank you for calling, and I'm delighted that you found us. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I got an email because there was a conversation that we had yesterday about how come Katie Nida didn't come forward when this all happened, when the allegations, when the rape she alleges occurred in 2000. And Gay sends me this email. Enid, the stuff has been going on with recruiting for athletes isn't just happening at CU and has been going on for years. My niece was a swimmer at a Division II college here in Colorado and was asked to work with the incoming recruits for the next year. She was one of the team captains. She told the coach about the alcohol and the drug use that was going on at these recruiting parties, asking for his advice on how to change the way this was being done. He said he didn't want to hear it and she needed to stop whining and get those incoming swimmers no matter what it took. She declined. The next year, she was not allowed to be captain again, and she was benched. Don't ask, don't tell has been going on for many years, and I didn't know about any of this, and I don't know about any of this, and I didn't know about any of this. It seems to be, is it the best answer that these people can come up with? So don't ask, don't tell. Mike Flickwin says this kind of level of corruption has been going on for a long time, and everybody professes to be shocked, that it's happening. Meanwhile, we already have five women who have come forward to say that they were assaulted. There is a sixth assault. This is like the Air Force Academy. The tipping point has been reached, and I wonder how many more women will continue to come. This will open the door for more women to come forward. Another one just has. Barnett is suspended, but he's going to get paid while he is being suspended. Police said today that they are investigating another alleged sexual assault involving a University of Colorado football player. This is the sixth case to surface in the school's burgeoning athletic scandal. Boulder Police Chief Mark Beckner said the alleged assault occurred in August of 2001. Now, the fifth woman who came forward, who triggered, helped to trigger the press conference last night that President Hoffman gave, that was an assault that was reported to have occurred in September of 2001. So this is a month before. I wonder if it's the same person who was on a rampage. I don't know. But this alleged assault occurred in August of 2001. The police chief would not immediately discuss the details. He said a redacted, and redacted means that they've blacked out certain portions. A redacted police report would be released later today. The news came hours after the University of Colorado suspended head football coach Gary Barnett. Yesterday, 2 hours after yet another sexual assault allegation was leveled against his program, Barnett was placed on paid administrative leave until a special commission formed by university regents to investigate football recruiting practices, like they didn't know, and sexual harassment issues in the athletic department reports its findings by April 30th. You know what I think the wink-wink is here? We want you to recruit the best players. We don't care what you do. We just don't want it to be public, and we don't want a scandal. And as long as we can all pretend we don't know anything about it, that's the way we'd like it. That's what I think is going on. What do you think? And what about these conservative stations like at the Walmart across the way where they're all blaming the women here? They're blaming, if you had all men in positions of power, if you had a male chancellor, would there be this much attention? Would they be taking it this seriously? Would there be an investigation? But it took Betsy Hoffman years to get kicked into gear herself. And not until Lisa Simpson's case went into federal court, and not until the governor wrote a scathing letter. And where was the governor all this time? I mean, finally he kicked himself into gear, and that got things moving along, and so did the federal lawsuit. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Bugging just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Oh, Lord, yeah. It's time to celebrate Mardi Gras. Fat Tuesday at Broussard Creole Cafe, a real Louisiana experience. The Broussard family invite you to share their authentic Louisiana dishes on Fat Tuesday, February 24th, with free red beans and rice for the first 50 people through the door starting at 11 in the morning. Share, we're talking about authentic Creole, scrumptious seafood gumbo, jambalaya, fried catfish, calamari, many dishes priced under $8, and no Mardi Gras will be complete without $3 hurricane served all day. It's going to be a real Creole party share where you can drape yourself with free Mardi Gras beads and let loose with the live rhythm and blues and Zydeco of Bo and Sam with Wild and Peaceful and featuring the famous Otis Tinsley. Come for lunch but plan to stay all day, share. Broussard Creole Cafe, located right across the street from the state capitol on Colfax, just around the corner from the Denver Civic Center bus station. Call 303-861-0931. Fat Tuesday, the 24th at Broussard Creole Cafe. Alonzo on Bonto Relay.
Hi, folks. This is Larry King. Now, here's something you can take to heart. Welch's Purple Grape Juice. We all know by now that eating at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day can give us heart-healthy benefits. But did you know that just 1 6-ounce glass of Welch's Purple Grape Juice counts as a whole serving of fruit? In fact, a USDA study found that Welch's Purple Grape Juice has 3 times the antioxidant power of grapefruit or even orange juice. And as always, it's fat-free, cholesterol-free, and tastes great, too. So, would I start drinking Welch's Purple Grape Juice every day? In a heartbeat.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Astor House in Golden presents a special etiquette tea on Saturday, February 21st, with seatings at 1:30 p.m. and 3 p.m. You'll learn the proper way to take tea, hear historical vignettes, and see the museum's Victorian wedding exhibit. Tickets are $22 per person and include the Victorian-style tea with a light luncheon and a self-guided tour of the museum. For tickets to tea time at the Astor House, call 303-278-3557. That's 303-278-3557.
Let Northwest World Vacations take you to Maui. Get nonstop air and 2 nights hotel for $528 per person. Call your travel professional or visit nwaworryfreevacations.com. Restrictions apply.
Every hour on the hour. If it's going on, it's going on KNRC. Awarded Colorado's best newscast and best general reporting by the Associated Press. In Denver, Colorado, the nation, the world, whatever it takes, whenever news breaks, you'll hear it on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC and our television partner, News 4. Together, we've got Denver covered with reports on the hour, on the half, and when news breaks. It's award-winning coverage you can count on from AM 1150 KNRC. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow.
To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:56 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Lou emails me, an irony of ironies, Barnett isn't even that hot as a coach. Let's go to the phone. Sandra in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. This is Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
I'm just calling because as I have followed the situation at CU, I haven't heard anybody mention the fact that perhaps some of the parents of these young men and women should be taking some responsibility. I know we all hope that our children are mature enough by the time they leave for college that they can deal with that freedom. But if they grew up in a home where they were taught to respect women and they were taught not to drink, perhaps these things wouldn't be going on the college level.
Ooh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Sandra, thank you very much for that. 303-382-1150. But you know what? You're going to have these kids who feel, who are football players, they're treated like pashas. They are given every kind of material advantage once they get to the university, however deprived they may have grown up, and suddenly they think they can do anything they want. I would imagine that's what's going on as well. So if you don't have the home training, it's easy to succumb to the temptations. Marty, calling from Parker. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. This is Marty.
Hi, Marty.
How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I'm listening to your subject, and I have all sisters, and I've raised 3 daughters to adulthood, and I'm really disturbed that guys like Barnett and the whole structure over there do not treat females fairly and equally. And as a matter of fact, he was threatening that last gal to put the full wealth and power of the university against her if she dared to come out and file a charge.
That's right, and it was effectively squelched. But look, it only stayed squelched for 3 years, and then it comes forward at the worst possible time for him. So can we spell karma?
Well, it was building up, and he deserves it. I wouldn't trust my daughters under his care under any circumstance, and I really think he should be ashamed for the way he attacked that kicker.
I thank you, Marty, for the call. 303-382-1150. And Carrie, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, wait a minute.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was just thinking a little bit about the awful consequences of this jock mentality. And it seems to me that at best it condones the cruel teasing and at worst the rape. And those of us here in Colorado, of all places, should remember the bad consequences, actually horrible consequences, that occurred at Columbine High School because of this jock mentality and the teasing. And I would just encourage any coaching staff anywhere in the state, high school, college, whatever, to realize that, you know, they need to be looking and look at the consequences and to take some care about these things.
Carrie, I think that's an excellent point, and I thank you for making it. We're out of time in this hour. I hope you'll call us again, 303-382-1150. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. You can join the conversation at 303-382-1150. Obviously, the top story, Gary Parnett on administrative leave. I think Dick Tharp is going to be next in this athletic house of cards. I'm Enid Goldstein. Enid Live. Two more hours coming up right here. Leave it here.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, scattered rain and snow showers, 41 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. The weather's changing with rain turning to snow this afternoon. Forecasters say the foothills could see 8 inches of snow, with other areas of the metro area getting 2 to 4 inches. The rapidly moving storm should make its way out of the area by midnight tonight. Snow is already hitting some areas. Woodland Park Elementary and Woodland Park High School closed about 11 o'clock this morning due to snow. All activities for those schools scheduled for tonight have been canceled, except for the high school boys basketball game of Sand Creek. That will continue as scheduled. CU head football coach Gary Barnett has been placed on administrative leave while the investigation into sexual assault allegations against Buffs players continues. CU president Betsy Hoffman says it was the best decision.
We believe it is appropriate to put him on administrative leave at this point in time, pending the outcome of this investigation. At this point, everything is still allegation.
The announcement from Hoffman came on the heels of comments that Barnett made following allegations of rape from former place kicker Katie Nida. Barnett says he regrets bad-mouthing Nida.
What I wanted to communicate was that regardless of Katie Nida's abilities, I wanted Katie on our football team. I wanted to give her a chance to be a part of our program. I want to reaffirm my feelings and remarks that I made yesterday. I am very sensitive to Katie's allegations. I want to do whatever I can to help Katie.
Meanwhile, the Boulder Police Department will release a redacted police report about a sixth incident of sexual assault involving a CU player. The alleged incident happened in August of 2001, although police aren't discussing details until the release of the report later this afternoon. More trouble for Arapahoe County Clerk Tracy Baker. Baker says he's given a new job to his former girlfriend and Assistant Chief Deputy Lisa Sale. Arapahoe County officials have blocked Sale's transfer to voting system supervisor, saying the new position gives her too much responsibility and money. Officials also say Baker didn't follow customary procedure and advertise for the job. The procedure is voluntary and not required. Baker, Arapahoe County clerk and recorder, says the position has been part of his budget since the late 1990s and the commissioners can't prevent him from giving Sale the job. Baker is facing a recall election because of his relationship with Sale, along with allegations of misuse of county funds and creating a hostile workplace. More good news for Denver International Airport. DIA received another A rating on its debt, this time from the Finch Agency. Finch also changed the outlook on DIA's airport revenue bonds from negative to stable. Standard & Poor's did the same thing at the end of January. Like the S&P, Finch noted increased passenger traffic and improved lease by United Airlines, and growth by Frontier Airlines is the reason for the improved rating. A federal grand jury has indicted former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling on 36 counts related to the collapse of the once giant energy company in an accounting scandal. Among the charges are insider trading, securities fraud, and conspiracy to commit securities and wire fraud. One of Skilling's attorneys, Daniel Petroselli, says that his client has pleaded not guilty to all charges.
Jeff Skilling has nothing to hide. He did not steal. He did not lie. He did not take anyone's money. In the 60 pages of charges filed by the United States government, they don't even accuse him of these things, and it's not for lack of trying.
If convicted on all counts, Skilling could face a maximum total of 325 years in prison and more than $80 million in fines. The nation's largest labor union, now working for John Kerry, the AFL-CIO endorsed the Democratic presidential frontrunner during a rally in Washington, D.C. today. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says President Bush's economic policies are effective.
And the policies that this president has pursued are working to strengthen our economy and to create a robust environment for job creation. New jobs are being created.
McClellan was pressed about the flap over economic forecasts that 2.6 million jobs will be created this year. That prediction was included in the president's annual budget report to Congress. The president has since backed away from that forecast. Asked about it yesterday, Bush said only that he believes the economy is getting stronger. Stocks continued mixed as the markets entered the last hour of today's trading session. The Dow was up nearly 61 points, the NASDAQ down 6.5, the S&P 500 up 4.75. In sports, no game for the Denver Nuggets or Colorado Avalanche tonight. They'll both be on the road tomorrow, with the Nuggets headed to Orlando to play the Magic. The Avs will be in Dallas to play the Stars. Avs lost 5-1 to the Edmonton Oilers last night. It was their second loss in a row. When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
No extra charges for roaming.
Press star, press the pound key.
When you listen to us online, wherever you are, so are we. Hear both sides talk at KNRCRadio.com. KNRCRadio.com.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Allison, and I met my fiancé Daniel at eHarmony.com.
My name is Rob, and I met my wife on eHarmony.com.
My name is Brenda, and I met my fiancé Tom on eHarmony.com.
There's a reason why couples who meet on eHarmony.com are falling in love and getting married. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Successful relationships always begin with broad-based compatibility. That's why at eHarmony.com we match you based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It helps you to figure out you, then it helps you to find that person that you are most compatible with.
You're learning intimate things about the person right from the very beginning.
There's a depth to eHarmony that the other sites don't have.
Log on to eHarmony.com and see for yourself why more eHarmony.com matches result in marriage than any online dating service. Do it right now and get your $40 personality profile free.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check the roads with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Bank One, and we got some problems on the highway. Northbound I-25 at Hampton, with a stalled RTD bus. Watch for delays. Northbound I-25 at I-76, four cars involved. Hampton and Kipling, we have a bit of a problem, and we do have an accident involving a pedestrian downtown Colfax and Ogden. This week only, find out how you can earn United miles. Good on Ted and United Airlines at Bank One. See your Bank One banker now, because next week it's too late. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Michael Reagan beginning at 6 right after Doug on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our winter weather advisory remains in effect through tonight. We're looking for about 2 to 4 inches of snow total from this storm as it moves in and changes over. Temperatures will be falling down around the freezing mark as we head through the day. And then tonight, we'll be falling back into the low 20s as the snow continues. The sunshine comes back tomorrow, highs in the low 40s, clouds in mid-40s on Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Scattered rain and snow showers now, 40 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. What am I doing here today? I was supposed to be at a luncheon, but this is too hot a story to not address, and I was here last night until midnight. We did a special edition of Enid Live, if you happen to be listening. Once the story broke and the press conferences increasingly became more and more dramatic, we carried all of that information live, and then I came in. I was actually swimming until very late, and the TV set was on in the locker room. I think I told you the story about 50 million times. And I saw the story and I thought, wow, this is just amazing. So we were live last night. When stories like this break, we bring them to you immediately. News that I wasn't quite aware of. It turns out that the woman who brought the allegations, who works for the CU athletic department and brought the rape allegations in 2001, and this is where Coach Barnett told her that he would back the player that she was accusing of raping her 100%, so she saw that she wasn't going to get anywhere with it. Guess what? She still works for the athletic department. Isn't that amazing? How were they able to work that one out? And it's being reported in the Rocky Mountain News. John Enslin was one of the reporters on this story. Owen S. Good, the other reporter. They are talking about the suspension of Coach Barnett and talking about what yesterday and the dramatic announcement last night was the crescendo of a day that saw President Hoffman progressively distance herself from Coach Barnett, both in public and in private. It started first thing in the morning. Enslin and Owen Good relate in their story. It started first thing in the morning with an angry call from President Hoffman to Coach Barnett. Hoffman said she told the coach that he was out of line in his response to Katie Nida's rape allegations made public on Tuesday. It's a guy's sport, Barnett said. Players felt like Katie was forced on them. It was obvious Katie was not very good. She was awful. You know what guys do. They respect your ability. You can be 90 years old, but if you can go out and play, they'll respect you. Meaning that if you can't play well, guess what? Too bad for you. You get to be raped. This was too much for Hoffman, who'd been standing steadfastly behind Barnett for the past 3 weeks while the sex scandal had been percolating. It's essentially inappropriate to blame the victim, which is what Barnett did, Hoffman said to reporters in Colorado Springs after giving a speech at the Broadmoor Hotel. Hoffman said she also told Barnett she was concerned about his ability to, quote, to deal verbally with this issue. Oh, well, no kidding. Even when he issued his statement yesterday following President Hoffman's press conference, he issued a statement. He began his statement by saying, well, you know, his remarks were taken out of context. He was sorry if they were overblown. So he hardly, if some people thought that they were insensitive, he really hardly took responsibility for what he has done. So clearly, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it in about 20 different ways. He's got to go, and Dick Tharp has got to go also. They really have got to clean house in that whole department. And you start with the two at the top, and then I don't know how far down it's going to go. Barnett spent most of the day in his office. On campus, at about 3 p.m., he walked outside and sat in his gray SUV for about half an hour. On his way back inside, he said he was listening to the radio and that he couldn't get good reception in his office. Oh, it was about 3 o'clock. I wonder who he was listening to. Maybe we couldn't get reception. That must be us. He must have been listening to AM 1150 KNRC. In the evening, Hoffman learned of the September 2001 police report after a Rocky Mountain News reporter had faxed it to the University Public Relations Department. Hoffman was in one of the CU Denver offices on a conference call when an aide read her the report. That triggered an intense round of discussion. An aide close to Hoffman said she was weighing placing Barnett on administrative leave earlier in the day on the basis of the remarks he made the day before about Katie Nida. Well, this had to probably be the nail in the coffin, so that was the end of that. The police report, in particular, the part where Barnett made the statement that he planned to back his player 100% clinched her decision. By then, she had spent so much time on the telephone that her cell phone battery went dead. CU officials have been bombarded with allegations about its football program as it deals with civil lawsuits filed by three women who say they were sexually assaulted in December of 2001 during and after a party attended by football players and recruits. The allegations by NIDA, the first woman to make CU's team and the first woman to suit up in the history of NCAA postseason football, took the story to a higher level of national scrutiny on Tuesday. And that's, of course, when Rick Riley did the piece for Sports Illustrated. So I think everybody's been dragging their feet. Everybody knows that this whole thing is corrupt. Everybody's known it for a long time. The question is, where are you going to draw the line? And finally, these issues are forced out into the open. But for people to posture like it's goody-goody and, oh, they're shocked, shocked that this kind of thing has been happening, please. 303-382-1150. Let's go to the phones. Joe, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid. You know, I'm pretty much on your side on this thing, and I think Barnett should be fired by now. But I think you have to be a little fair. When he was talking about the NIDA, not being a very good player, he was not talking in the context of the rape allegations. He was talking about the sexual harassment, you know, the throwing the football and that type of thing, allegations. He was trying to explain why there was some resentment on the other, which doesn't excuse that either. But he's not, you know, you characterize it as him saying, well, she wasn't a very good player, so it's okay if she was raped.
Well, that is the effect that it had once his comments were made public. That was the impression that it was left. Now, in response to a particular question, was it pulled out of context? He shouldn't have said it in the overall context of a rape allegation. And then, when he had the chance to clear himself and clarify what he had to say yesterday in his remarks, he blamed everybody else. The buck didn't stop with him, and he wasn't taking responsibility that he was quoted out of context, that it was overblown, that it may have sounded insensitive, and so on.
Well, I agree. It wasn't dumb of him to even bring that up in the when there's a.
It was a non. It was a non-apology apology.
But he was right that when people and you're saying when you're saying that he's saying that rape is okay because she was a bad player, that is taken out of context. We need to at least there's enough to hang him there already. We don't need to be, you know.
He hung himself.
I agree. He hung himself.
Nobody hung him. And I think he's only the tip of the iceberg. He was probably given a mandate, clean this up, make it look good. And I think the line that they all walk in those athletic departments, everybody knows how corrupted the whole thing is. The line that they walk is how corrupted will they be so that it doesn't get too public and to get them into the soup. So they're always walking that line, and the line got breached this time.
I totally agree. But one other quick thing that bothers me is that and I can't remember her first name again. Carrie Nida.
Katie Nida.
Katie. Yeah. Okay. Katie Nida.
And her father, Dr. Dave,
right.
Went to the athletic department, and they knew what was going on, so they can't plead that they were ignorant.
Right. But why isn't she naming who raped her? That it is not fair to put out an accusation of rape.
I don't know. We haven't heard. All the names have been redacted in the 2001 case. Those names were redacted. We don't know who, at least publicly, we don't know who that player was. The woman who continues to work in the athletic department after this all happened and after her bosses essentially said they were not going to back her, they were going to back the player. I don't know how she can continue to work in that athletic department, but she is continuing to do so. Now, maybe there was something else, some kind of other exchange that occurred. I can't say, but she is still there, and we don't know the names. We don't know the Katie Nida who raped her. We don't know that name. She's not going to press criminal charges, and I can understand why she wouldn't. It's because she's going to get dragged through the mud if she does that.
Well, I think that's irresponsible. I think there has to be some.
Oh no, I don't think it's irresponsible at all. I think guys though quake because a lot of them have been bad boys, and if they got fingered publicly in this way, there would be a price to pay. So a lot of men are quaking and starting to get mad at women. This is unfair of women, but
that's true. But not every single member of the team needs to be regarded as a potential rapist. I doubt that every single member.
Well, I don't know what the laws are. That if you are alleging somebody raped you and you name that person publicly, then they can sue you, and then you may open the door to a lot of legal troubles for yourself if you are not planning to go forward.
Only if it's a totally frivolous accusation.
Well, no, not necessarily. Somebody will decide to sue you in order to save their own name. They might have actually committed the rape, but the standard of proof is such, maybe you get into he say, she say territory, and if it can't be proved absolutely, then the person bringing the allegations, which may be honest, will get dragged through the mud. So there are a lot of questions here, Joe. It's not a black and white issue, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. The Polk Awards. We have other news, and I want to get onto that as well, but we are still talking about CU and the bombshell. And today's Rocky Mountain News, here is the editorial, Gary Barnett. One bombshell too many is the headline. Barnett's head shouldn't be the only one on the block, and boy, do I agree with them. Gary Barnett is only to look in the mirror this morning to locate the primary reason he's now on administrative leave as coach of CU's football team. Barnett utterly mishandled the accusations that swept over his football program in recent weeks, disdainfully dismissing them and too often attacking the accusers. You know, if you listen to the Walmart across the way, if you listen to conservative talk radio, who are they attacking? They're attacking all the women here, aren't they? This is what you're telling me. I'm not hearing it, but you're telling me this. The coach, Barnett, may also have mishandled much else that is yet to be proved, tolerating an atmosphere in which some players believe they could get away with underage drinking, with recruits, sexual harassment, or even worse. But we'll leave the verdicts in these grave matters to the civil lawsuits and independent investigation now underway. Here's what we don't understand about the decision by CU President Betsy Hoffman and Chancellor Richard Biney to put Barnett on ice at least until the independent commission reports at the end of April. Why only the head coach? How is Athletic Director Richard Tharp any less culpable in this fiasco? Indeed, isn't it clear that he's actually more responsible than Barnett for the current mess? Tharp's tenure spans two head coaches who found themselves enmeshed in recruiting problems, and in Rick Neuheisel's case, much else besides. If anyone had the authority and expertise to insist on stringent guidelines and no-nonsense policies after the now notorious rape allegations in 1997, it was a smart lawyer like Dick Tharp. Hoffman and Biney cited two reasons for punishing Barnett. First, his comments Tuesday demeaning the abilities of Katie Nida, who claimed she'd been raped as if her value as a player was somehow relevant to however she might have been mistreated in 1999. And second, an allegation in a police report that he told a woman
3 years ago that if she pressed rape charges against one of his players, he would back his player 100%. Both are good reasons to discipline Barnett, but it also happens that his boss is Tharp, who had weeks to prevail upon Barnett to tone down his public defiance and failed to do so. Moreover, Tharp's own attitude toward the enveloping scandal has hardly been more forthcoming than Barnett's. Both have professed astonishment at every accusation involving their program, and yet, until this week, have been sitting on a charge as serious as any of the others, as if it simply did not exist. Hoffman said Wednesday night that Barnett is not the fall guy, but he will be if his head ultimately is the only one to roll, and that, it appears, is a growing possibility. How can anyone realistically expect him to return this spring, especially given his reaction after being put on leave, facing an opportunity to admit in the way he characterized NIDA? He instead resorted to form, claiming he had been misunderstood. Hoffman said that when she confronted Barnett Wednesday regarding his statements, he did not understand the seriousness of them. If his performance later in the day is any indication, he still doesn't understand. We simply don't see how such a clueless individual can return to coach at CU, even if the independent commission gives the football program a relatively clean bill of health, which I think there's going to be a cold day in hell before that happens. Earlier this week, this is now I'm reading to you from the Rock, today's Rockies editorial. Earlier this week, Chancellor Biney offered the ridiculous opinion that we don't have any evidence that Gary Barnett or Dick Tharp or any of us have done anything wrong in the context of a highly visible investigation. However, the failure to be simultaneously forthcoming and diplomatic is evidence that a great deal is wrong and also of a prevailing attitude that has to be changed. I'm going to tell you something. Chancellor Biney is a dope, and somebody ought to look into him, and I think Dick Tharp has got to go. No question about it. And I want to hear your views about this. And President Hoffman, she's been sitting on this thing for a while, too. Everybody has got filth on their hands. 303-382-1150. Kyle calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I agree with you 100%. I think Barney and Hoffman have to go, too. And I'll give you at least four reasons I can think of. First, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago where Hoffman was resisting appointing a panel, saying they had investigated it thoroughly and there was no truth to the allegations, number one. Number two, you know, what kind of leadership has she demonstrated when it was up to that Governor Owens had to get out and publicly say that if she didn't do it, he was going to do it. Third,
Governor, I don't know if I'm wiggling while my wife and I are separated.
Well, you know, I mean, I'd like to maybe compartmentalize this and you know, keep it on topic, but that's another issue and probably fodder for a whole other day of talk show hosting by you, Enid.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, you know, she has demonstrated no leadership. In fact, now they're talking about, you know, let's find some ex-chancellor that has had experience with Division I athletics and bring him in to serve as this liaison or to, you know, sit on a panel or whatever. I mean, I don't know if we're going to hold Bush, you know, for everything that's going on in Iraq and the country. You know, let's be fair and hold everybody who's at the at a point of leadership accountable.
Here's the point of a lot of these investigative commissions. They're charged with investigating, pretending that they're investigating something while completely not investigating anything. That's the whole point of it. It's a kind of window dressing to make it look like we're going to get to the bottom of these charges, and that's the last thing anybody wants to do.
Well, and you know, actually, you know, a couple other things. Hey, I'm a little surprised you're being as light on Barnett as you are. You know, but I'll tell you this.
How am I being light on Barnett? This guy's gone. He is history.
Oh, he should have been gone. I mean, he should have been gone months ago. Should have been calling for his resignation. But I'll also say this. You know, when you watch the Sunday, you know, the Saturday football games and the universities are playing and you see the nice commercials that say Ohio State does this and, you know, CU does that, you know, you don't get a panoramic view of the Flatirons and hear about you know, the university's relationship with NASA. You see you see Hoffman sitting in her office. And, you know, what's the point of that? Self-aggrandizement. I mean, they are as much a part of this garbage, and the pressure to win and the pressure to get good athletes and be in the forefront as anybody. And Tharp needs to, they all need to go.
I am with you. I think a major house cleaning has to happen,
and
Kyle.
Final comment would be, you know, Hoffman, I mean, I don't know. You don't want to turn this into a gender thing, but, you know, she's a woman, and she needs to be doing a better job for women.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. That opens up a line. Jim, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Jim.
I agree that Hoffman, Bernie, Tharp, Barnett, the whole, you know, ship is sinking, and they need to go down with it. It's all about the money. And one thing that the NCAA is doing this month is they're voting on a permanent 12-game football schedule for every Division I team. That means more money. That means more pressure to win. That means athletics come first. Higher education is last.
Oh, well, let me just, I just have to laugh here, because if you looked at today's USA Today front page story above the fold, you've got Katie Nida, who is really quite gorgeous, at least in all of her pictures. And here's the headline, NCAA shaken by charges that sex and booze are used in recruiting. I mean, that's that line out of Casablanca. I'm shocked. Shocked,
yeah,
that sex and booze are used for recruiting. Where have they been? Under what rock are they residing?
Miles Brand, the chairman of the NCAA, he needs to go down with them as well. And that's all I have to say. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. That opens up another line. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508, or online at ipfunding.com.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Mike Reagan. Join me weeknights at 6 p.m. as Denver's Best Afternoon and Early Evening Talk continues exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
127 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. We are talking about the sex scandal at CU, and I have some news tomorrow. Guess who's going to join us as a guest? Put this down on your calendar. Former Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin, who knew how to keep surpluses going on in this country, who knew how to keep this country solvent, unlike the present gang in the White House. He will be our guest. He has a new book out called Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington. He'll be our guest tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. Also, Jimmy Lake, he's going to be broadcasting live tomorrow from Boulder, from the Buff's Barber Shop at 13th in Colorado from 6 to 9 a.m. You can get a haircut, a shave too, maybe. And that's tomorrow. You can join. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by and say hello. Next week, we're going to be joined by Dr. Gene Bowles, a neurosurgeon, and I think he was, for a while, the only neurosurgeon. He's a Boulder neurosurgeon, and he just bought a dinner theater, the Boulder Dinner Theater, oddly enough. So we'll be talking to him about that, but the reason I want to have him on is that he was widely quoted. He was shipped over to Iraq, and he was the only, or to Landstuhl in Germany, only neurosurgeon there, at least in the beginning. Maybe there were others later. And he was seeing the casualties that came in from Iraq, and he is in a position to describe what was going on. So I'm very interested to talk to him. It's a local angle. He lives in Boulder, and as I said, in addition to being a neurosurgeon, he just bought the Boulder Dinner Theater. Wednesday, we are going to be joined by Rocky Mountain News film critic Bob Dinnerstein, and we'll be talking about Mel Gibson's new book, The Passion, new film, The Passion of Christ. A lot of people are calling it anti-Semitic, so we'll be talking about that. And Ellen Goodman will be a guest coming up in March. Local author, well-regarded local author and former bookstore owner John Dunning, whom we've had on before, has a brand new book out called The Bookman's Promise, and we will be having him on as we in the coming weeks. So that's just a little taste of what's coming up. Tomorrow, Robert Rubin, former Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, somebody who knew how to keep us solvent. We're talking about the scandal at CU. I think Tharp's got to go. I wonder if Hoffman ought to stick around. And I think the Chancellor Bynum sounds like a dope. And what about the Regents? What about the Regents? What's their responsibility here? And Sam just emails me this. So student fees go to support a program, football, that promotes the abuse of alcohol in women, yet our state lawmakers think that the real problem is student fees going to support liberal programs, which include women's studies. What's wrong with this picture? Signed, Sam. And Adam emails me. I'm starting an email and phone campaign. I've emailed CU and called the governor's office calling for the firing of Coach Barnett. Well, that's small potatoes, Adam. You ought to consider adding to your list Dick Tharp and others as well. Please tell your listeners about these email addresses and the phone number, g.barnett@colorado.edu, richard.byny@colorado.edu, president@cu.edu, and Governor Owens is 303-866-2471 if you want to get on that bandwagon. Let's go to the phones. Joe, calling from Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Joe.
I think Sam was right. There's so many jockstrats in this town.
So many what?
Jockstraps. You know,
jockstraps.
They think that sports is you know, the place, you know. You got some goof raping the taxpayers for a stadium, you know. We'll take it out of your tax dollars while he sits on his hog. You know, the whole town is just a bunch of jocks, and they think that sports is where it's at, so the real laws that need to be enforced get overlooked. Why? Because Johnny's a football star.
Well,
you got people, you know, you got these idiots after the football games trashing the town, you know. Meanwhile, there's some lady up there can't even put a barbershop sign up in her window, you know.
Well, apparently that's a problem at the Buffs Barbershop. If they plug it in, they're going to get fined. And so Jimmy Lakey's going to do a show tomorrow from 6 to 9 at the Buffs Barbershop.
Yeah.
Maybe if
she was a football player, you know, then it'd be, you know.
If she had an electronic jockstrap, that could solve everything.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. 303-382-1150. Hal, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I think if Governor Owens wasn't just posturing when he said that he'd take care of it if they didn't, he might be interested in talking to Ken Salazar about having a grand jury, because there may be some intimidation of the witnesses on the part of Gary Barnett, and firing him may not just do it for me. Apparently, he was adjudicating one of the rape charges right there in the office. Now, what is he doing adjudicating a rape charge?
Well, he's keeping a lid on it. And what's intriguing to me is that here is something that happens in 2001. Here we are 3 years later. He thought he handled it. He kept a lid on it. He kept that lady who filed the charge, the woman who filed the charge, apparently continues to work in the athletic department. So how they negotiated that little deal is kind of interesting. I would like to know more about that. And as far as the Board of Regents is concerned, it consists of 9 members serving staggered 6-year terms, 1 elected from each of the state's 7 congressional districts and 2 from the state at large. So they've been elected. The members select their own chair and vice chair. Prior to July 1, 1973, the board was made up of 6 regents, all elected from the state at large. It's now 9 members serving staggered 6-year terms, and they are elected.
So all these jockeys on the radio, it just doesn't wash that Gary Barnett just didn't know what was going on up there. Of course he knew.
Oh, of course. If he didn't know, then he's dumber than we think. Thank you, Hal. I appreciate
Bye.
The call. 303-382-1150. Gary, calling from Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi. Is this Enid?
It is. Welcome, Gary.
Hi. You know, I agree with everybody as far as CU needs to clean up their mess, but everybody keeps forgetting about the Air Force and Iraq, the rapes that are going on over there. This is a society problem. And what's wrong with personal responsibility? There hasn't been anybody come forward saying, yeah, I did it. We're really...
Who in their right... What athlete in his right mind Nobody has come forward here. There have been no exemplars here of personal responsibility. What athlete in his right mind would come forward and say, you know what, I did that rape. I'm guilty. Send me away for life. Who's going to do that?
Well, probably not. But, I mean, look at the military over in Iraq, and you had the rapes over there. I mean, maybe we should fire Ashcroft.
Well, I'm in favor of that. I would look for the flimsiest of reasons, Gary. I mean, not, you know, the fact that he drapes the Statue of Justice, Minnie Lou, because her breasts are exposed. I mean, for me, that's reason enough. He's got to go.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, I mean, locally, this is a very bad problem locally and stuff. But we have to.
All right, let's ask the larger question then. I think because you bring up an excellent point. Let us ask the larger question. Why is there so much raping going on? Whether it's
correct
on the athletic field, whether it is in the battlefield. Why preponderance? Why are we hearing so much? Is it only that we are more reporting it, or is it that more of it is occurring? And what does it have to do with masculinity, real masculinity? And does it mean that real masculinity is so under siege that men who have to prove themselves are resorting to rape? Does it have anything to do with as much violence as we see in our movies and on television? Is there any kind of a correlation would be another question.
I totally agree. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff is the MTV. I just think our society, Hollywood, everybody's
or that nobody really does an adequate job of raising kids to have the right kinds of values in the face of all these temptations.
Correct, and we don't need more laws to do this. This is something that society needs to. We need to turn off the TV. We need to stop buying products. We just need to show them in a different way.
But we're not turning off, Gary, in your dreams, please. We're not turning off the TV. Adult entertainment, a.k.a. Well, that part is true, but a.k.a. porn is a bigger seller than just about every other form of entertainment combined. So people are not turning off the TV sets, and if they are turning it off for network programming, if they're turning it on for adult entertainment, they are renting movies that have tons of violence. We're very edgy about how much sex we'll show in this country, though we use it to sell everything in the world. You can't buy it legally except for a few counties in Nevada. But we are, you know, full stop as far as violence is concerned. And the gorier, the better. It sells movie tickets.
We can fire Barnett. We can fire Tharp. We can fire everybody. We could fire Ashcroft. This is going to take decades to change. And it's going to take education. It's
well,
going to take a lot of learning.
You are looking at a society that is as decadent as Rome, probably, and is as corrupted. Look at all the allegations against Roman Catholic priests. Almost 5,000 priests against whom allegations were lodged. There were about 11,000 incidents, of which 6,700 were substantiated. Zillions of dollars in terms of settlement. This was a sacred area where nobody thought that something like this was going on so massive a scale. They had to practically be recruiting pedophiles to have so many of them in the ranks. And the way they handled it is extremely disappointing, very troubling. This is an area of sacred responsibility, an area where they should have been held to a much higher standard, and in fact they could barely hang on to the much lower standard. And then you look at recruiting for sports, and you look at our universities, again a place that we have a lot of idealism around, an ivory tower, the groves of academe, and we find out that it's corrupt, and we find out that it's filthy, and that rape and sex and drugs are used to recruit players. And so in every way, we are a hollow shell of this kind of idealism that we espouse. We like to put "In God We Trust" on the money, but it's not how we live as a society.
Totally agree.
Thank you, Gary. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 40 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Home Depot. The National Weather Service in Denver is now saying that we may not see as much snow as originally expected. The Weather Service now saying the storm has weakened and only 1 to 2 inches is expected. Weather Service has also canceled the winter weather advisory for the metro area. Boulder police are expected to release information regarding a sixth allegation of sexual assault involving a university University of Colorado football player. Boulder PD is expected to release a redacted police report sometime this afternoon regarding an incident from August of 2001. Arapahoe County Clerk Tracy Baker is at the center of another storm. Baker says he's given a new job to his former girlfriend and Assistant Chief Deputy Lisa Sale, but county officials have blocked that transfer. Baker already faces a recall election because of his relationship with Sale and allegations of misuse of taxpayer funds and creating a hostile workplace. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets both getting ready to hit the road. Neither team has a game tonight, but tomorrow they both play away games. The Avs in Dallas, the Nuggets in Orlando. All About Kids Expo is this Saturday and Sunday at the Convention Center. Over 80 booths of activities and fun, live entertainment, a petting zoo, pony rides, and more. All About Kids this weekend. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
What's important to me?
You can rely on us at Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm a single mom, and I've always got somewhere to go.
No matter where you are.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. When I take the kids to school.
When it's important to you.
News is important to me.
Rely on Denver's AM 1150.
That's what's important to me.
KNRC.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
In 1779, before he became the second president of the United States, John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail, "I am but an ordinary man. The times alone have destined me to fame." As John's political career grew and the couple's correspondence continued year upon year, these two preserved a unique and historical legacy through their intimate accounts and keen insight into the founding of our nation. In an effort to bring these two characters and their worlds to life, and as part of the Continuing American Spirit series, the Colorado Endowment for the Humanities will present An Evening with John and Abigail Adams, America's first true political couple, on state at historic Trinity United Methodist Church in downtown Denver on Thursday, February 19th, 2004, from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets to this unique fundraising event are $35 and may be purchased by phone at 303-894-7951 or online at www.ceh.org. Again, to purchase tickets, call 303-894-7951.
KNRC News Time is 1:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, and we do have a problem at I-25 at Hampton. Stalled bus there, then on Hampton approaching I-25. It sounds like a stalled truck. Might be an accident there as well. Trying to clear up an accident on the north side of town, northbound I-25 at I-76. When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our winter weather advisory remains in effect through tonight. We're looking for about 2 to 4 inches of snow total from this storm as it moves in and changes over. Temperatures will be falling down around the freezing mark as we head through the day. And then tonight, we'll be falling back into the low 20s as the snow continues. The sunshine comes back tomorrow, highs in the low 40s, clouds in mid-40s on Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy sky. Highs 40 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 303-754-4911 and get a loan package custom tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive, so start your 2004 off right and call them now at 303-754-4911 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. So call 303-754-4911 or toll free at 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
KNRC Market Watch.
Markets are mixed at the moment. Dow is up 61, NASDAQ is down 13. We learned today that fewer people lined up for first-time unemployment benefits last week, and the boss at Walmart says the job market will continue to improve this year. Chief Executive Lee Scott says he thinks higher tax refunds will boost consumer spending and will eventually help to create jobs. This after Walmart matched its quarterly earnings target, sending the stock up $1.25. Eli Lilly is also upbeat about job growth because it's creating jobs itself, telling Reuters it plans to expand its workforce by as many as 3,000 people or 7% this year as it rolls out four new drugs. Lilly's stock is moving higher, right now up over a half dollar. Watching Wall Street, Dow Industrials again ahead by 61 points, 10,732 the level. NASDAQ down 13. The S&P 500 right now is up 3 points. I'm Joe Matthew in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Denver is the third worst traffic city in America.
Traffic.
But we make it easier with Lalani Larson mornings and Darren Copeland afternoons.
It's too good to be true.
Listen to their traffic reports at least four times an hour on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:44 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I'm getting a lot of emails. Let me share some of them with you. Let's see. Sean has emailed me a bunch of times. There are 29,000 students on the campus of CU. There are six alleged rapes, no charges, just allegations. You would think they could manage to be able to file charges in one out of six, don't you? No, that doesn't fit your cause. Another thing, CU is deemed a party school in large part due to the Greek society. These are normal students, not football, basketball players. It's just not fair to put the blame on the athletic department. Do you agree with that? And then he goes on. He sent me about three or four emails that Katie Anida. Let's see, that it's not fair to focus on Barnett's quote about her abilities, why does she go to Rick Riley? Is this America? Don't we have due process? Mary Keenan says, no, I won't take it to trial, but what I will do is put my deposition. Katie doesn't even file a police report, and doesn't tell her father, but goes to Rick Riley. She does tell her father. Her father did talk to the athletic department. Let's see. Again, where's the due process? Enid, honestly, don't you need some facts? It's apparent someone wants Barnett out of there, and now it's so big they can't keep him. I just warn everyone, what you're doing is the type of thing that can come back to bite you. Allegations have to have truth to them before we can act on them. At least I thought that was the way America is supposed to be. And then he puts about 50 exclamation points. What's your view of Sean's email? 303-382-1150. Tom, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Tom.
So this whole CU sex scandal seems to rest on the use and abuse of this hard drug alcohol, correct?
Well, I think it probably plays a role. Why?
Well, a major role.
Yeah.
Well, see, and I haven't seen people focus on the dishonesty and hypocrisy of the government, especially the state government, especially Bill Owens and John Andrews and Norma Anderson and Lois Bradley and all these dishonest, hypocritical, evil Republicans. That, well, and look at Dick Tharp. He's a drug pusher, right?
How is Dick Tharp a drug pusher?
Well, he's involved in the management of Liquor Mart in Boulder.
Dick Tharp, the athletic director?
Yeah.
He's a manager of Liquor Mart?
He's an owner, or he's involved in that alcohol drug pusher.
I'm not aware of that he has some interest in a liquor store.
Well, you obviously haven't paid attention to that part of the scandal, so... I'm sure people will send in research if you don't have time to do it yourself. But this is the whole point, is that these hypocrites, these
how many disses do you think you can get into a clause of a sentence? Tell me what your...
I'll keep trying.
I know. I see that. Tell me what your point is.
Well, the point is that we're never going to achieve a resolution to this problem as long as the underlying dishonesty and hypocrisy of the government, especially the state government, about with tobacco and alcohol remains embedded in our laws, where tobacco is a scheduled substance like morphine and cocaine, and it's unlawfully exempt from every drug law. And so this is the message that the government is sending to our students.
Listen, most of crimes are committed when people are high on something, whether it's drugs or whether it's booze or whatever it is.
Wait a minute. I want to stop you right there. That's the problem we have, is this misuse of the language. Alcohol is a drug. And when you say drugs or whether it's booze, booze, you're contributing to this language abuse and the perpetuation of the problem.
But I have to say that since you're a one-trick pony here and all you've got is this one horse that you're riding, there are lots of reasons why you have a scandal the magnitude that you do in the athletic department, and it's not simply about booze. Well, it's about a lot of different things. It's about the corruptness. It's about our values. It's about a lot of things.
Yeah,
and all you can focus, for some reason, Tom, all you can focus on is alcohol.
And tobacco. And the dishonesty of the government and a society that
is it
so
government's, if it,
dishonest.
Is it, how is it government's responsibility if somebody rapes somebody else? How is government's responsibility
there? What does it have to do? Well, you know.
But that's what you're alleging. That's what it has to do. That's the point you're trying to make. And I think you're really going way too narrow here.
You can think very clearly here, and you're not understanding what I'm saying.
No, I think it is you. I think it is you who don't understand the issue fully. Everything to you revolves around alcohol, and it should be treated as a drug. And I, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you, but to lay the blame here solely at the feet of alcohol completely misses the point, Tom. And here you are busy dissing me when you don't actually see the forest for the trees. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
How Denver and Colorado spell great talk radio. KNRC. She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein,
KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hey, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence from the big guys. I'm switching my internet access to ProLinks.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from 10 feet away, even with a driver.
Well, you said ProLinks, though, didn't you?
ProLinks isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLinks.
Well, that's because they're local, right here in Denver, and they don't spend billions of dollars on advertising. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the huge megapolis, but without the long hold times, poor service, and annoying Super Bowl ads.
Yeah, but is their connection fast?
Sure, their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access just for signing up.
Well, that settles it then. I'm switching to ProLinks. How do I get hooked up?
Just give them a call at 303-972-3218, and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Call them and mention this ad so you can be sure to get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free, and you'll be glad you did. That number again is 303-972-3218.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included, not available in all areas.
NBC must-see TV tonight. With only a few friends left, we know what you're thinking. Ross and Rachel, will they or won't they?
I just don't want to be alone tonight.
Then Will and Grace is now after Friends.
Jack confused.
Well, let me say it again. All new Will and Grace is now on after Friends.
It's madness!
And on an all-new Apprentice, a devastating phone call could mean the end for one candidate.
You want to go home?
Thursday's all new, starting with Friends, followed by Will and Grace, The Apprentice, and an all-new ER. NBC tonight.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Coal Creek Community Theater presents the award-winning comic drama Steel Magnolias. Evening performances will be February 27th and 28th and March 5th and 6th at 7:30 p.m. with matinees February 29th and March 7th at 2 p.m. All performances will be held at the Louisville Center for the Arts at 801 Grant Street in Louisville. For tickets to Steel Magnolias, call the Coal Creek Community Theater box office at 303-665-7211 or go to www.ccctheater.org.
Hop on the Albertsons Rice Bowl Express. Every Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m., buy one delicious rice bowl for $3.49 and get one egg roll free. Limit 4. Albertsons, helping make your life easier.
Dr. Yuki hosts the exciting The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, airing live Saturdays at 2 p.m. on KNRC. The show is a zany, fast trip into the hilarious and fascinating world of animals. Learn unusual facts about the critters with which we share our world. Callers can win prizes during the Pet Trivia Challenge, and lots of fun is in store. Don't miss the fast-paced, action-packed hour of fun and hilarity with Dr. Yuki and The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, Saturdays at 2 on KNRC.
AM 1150 KNRC continues expanding our local programming. Now live and local on weekends.
You never hear that kind of talk. At least I haven't.
Listen to Darren Copeland live Saturday and Sunday afternoons exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:52 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I'm going to see Art Garfunkel tonight. He's singing. I hope he's there with the Colorado Symphony. You know, he just got busted on a ganja charge, on a dope charge in, I think, Connecticut. So we'll see. I'll report back. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Lori on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, hi, this is Lori.
Oh, Lori, I'm sorry.
I originally was calling just to say thanks for getting that guy off the air, but I decided that, you know, I don't see how anybody could possibly know what they would do if they had never been in this situation. I've never been in this situation. I have no idea if I'd tell anybody or if I wouldn't. And so, you know, hopefully we'll just all wait until all the facts come out. And I think, personally, Gary Barnett probably should have just stepped aside on his own.
Oh, believe me, the last thing these people are going to do is step aside on their own. They all want to preserve their jobs and their prestigious positions. But I think that, you know, if you are on the team and you're the only woman on the team, are you going to come forward and make an admission like this, that it's one of your teammates who has raped you in an environment where the teammate is going to be believed and you're not?
I think
you're going to think twice about this. And now that the floodgates have opened, she's come forward, she's come public, but she doesn't want to file criminal charges. And I can understand why she wouldn't. I can also understand that people are saying, well, then maybe none of it is true, since she won't file criminal charges. But I don't think that anybody in her situation would want to come forward and bring on all that publicity and scrutiny about herself if there weren't truth to the charges, at least in her own mind.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. And I just hope in the long run all the truth comes out and that, you know, the people who are responsible are punished in some way. And I hope Katie can get on with her life as well as all the other girls.
Well, I hope that that's true, and I hope really that there is justice done, and I hope that there is some recognition here of the dishonesty being perpetuated all over the place. The university is up to their eyeballs in dishonesty and corruption. And if for CU to be taken seriously as any kind of a quality institution, they really have got to clean this thing up. And I think Dick Tharp has got to go next.
You know, I talked to my husband about this when this originally started happening. And he said, Lori, this happens at a lot of schools. And that's pretty sad, but I believe it. And I think that CU has gotten caught. And they need, you know, maybe college athletics need to be looked at all over.
Oh, I think it's happening all over the place. I mean, the headline is that the NCAA is shaken by charges that sex booths are used in recruiting. Like, it's a big surprise to them. Lori, I thank you very much for the call. 303-382-1150 about Dick Tharp's involvement with liquor. In his book, Dying to Drink, Harvard professor Henry Wexler talks of the influence of big alcohol with its aggressive marketing to students and high density of bars and liquor stores surrounding college campuses. Perhaps nobody understands this better than Dick Tharp, CU athletic director and for many years a top corporate officer in Boulder's largest liquor store, Liquor Mart, Inc. Liquor Mart is easy walking distance from campus and a major advertiser in the campus paper. It offers 33,500 square feet of retail space. The company reported sales last year of $6.1 million. And Dick Tharp is Liquor Mart's treasurer. So that's what Tom was talking about. I was unaware of that, so I'm glad it was brought to my attention. 303-382-1150. Kashmir calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Kashmir.
How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Last time I checked, strippers and they have even escorts that are legal. And that's if you're over the age of 18. College students, most of them.
Well, that's if only escorting is going on, but if wiggle wiggle is going on, then it's different.
Yeah, no doubt. But at the same time, they, you know, they got all this, you know,
of course they could
be going on screaming about certain kids buying escorts and things for parties for the other players to get them on a team. And
well, why do you think about this? Why do you, if you're already at the party, what do you need an escort for if you're already there? How is the escort escorting you anywhere except into the bedroom?
And that's the whole thing. That's the whole premise. They want us to believe that sex is what you're going to get if you come to our university. I'm not saying it's right, but at the same time, it's legal. I mean, if America set us up with
Wait. What's legal? What part of that equation is legal, Kashmir? You're not allowed to sell sex in Colorado, I don't think.
Right, but you're not buying. See, the thing about the escort is you're not paying to have sex with the escort. The escort comes and she does different services like rub your back and, you know, just all these different things. Now, sometimes it goes further than that, but it's one of them things where they can't step over that fine line and say...
Well, the escort service is not supposed to step over the fine line, but Denver's Finest is right in there busting the escort services. So some of them, apparently that line is a shifting line.
Right, and I think they should continue to bust them and do what they got to do to get rid of the corruption. But at the same time, if you set up a certain atmosphere and those lines are being crossed, how can you get mad when you're getting paid off of the taxes and things of this escort service?
Kashmir, I absolutely don't understand your point.
My whole point is saying that we as Americans, we if something happens to a certain age group, we tend to go after the older age group, that's letting these things go down. But at the same time, there are laws that are protecting certain people so they can continue to do these type of things. Like right now, everything that's going on in CU, it will continue to go on until you get people that's going to come in and take away all these escort services and things like that.
But the same pressures remain whether we clean house or we don't. And you've got to nip it at the root. I think they've got a clean house at the athletic department. But still in all, you still have the same pressures to succeed. And then you still have the same amount of possibility for corruption. That is not being addressed here. Kashmira, thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. One more hour of Enid coming up. Oh, we have so much to report. There is other news, amazingly enough. And some of the more serious allegations here. We've all seen the figures of how many Americans have died in Iraq. Apparently, those aren't the real figures. I'll talk about that in the next hour. Isn't that amazing? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I wasn't even supposed to be here today, except that we have big breaking news, what's going on at CU and in the athletic department, where they're exercising a lot of athletic prowess trying to deal with the press. I'm Enid Goldstein. Keep it right here on...
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 41 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Subway. A storm first expected to drop significant snow across the Denver metro area has weakened. That said, the winter weather advisory for this afternoon and this evening has been canceled by the National Weather Service in Denver. Snow showers still expected, but only 1 to 2 inches expected. That's less than half of what could have fallen. Most of the snow will be falling south of Interstate 70. Frontier Airlines just keeps on growing. Today it announced that starting in May, it will establish service to Philadelphia from Denver and Los Angeles. There'll be two flights daily from DIA, one in the morning, another in the afternoon. Frontier VP Sean Menke says his carrier is happy to add Philly to its stable of cities that it serves.
The Philadelphia market, as I stated, is the 20th largest market out of Denver. So as we continue to grow, we're continuing to add frequency and add new cities. Those are the top 25 destinations that are out there.
Menke believes that about 60% of those flying from Denver to Philadelphia will be business travelers. The University of Colorado has placed head football coach Gary Barnett on administrative leave while the investigation into allegations of sexual assault by Buffs players continues. The decision comes following comments that Barnett made about Katie Nida's playing abilities after the former place kicker for CU said she had been raped by a CU player while she was playing for the school. Barnett said she never earned her teammates' respect because she was not only a girl but a terrible kicker. CU President Betsy Hoffman says Barnett made a mistake with his comments about Nida.
It is inappropriate to make statements about the ability of the player, and particularly the way those statements were made. We think that the appropriate answer to a question about her ability was to say that that was an inappropriate question in the context of an allegation of rape.
Barnett says that he'll cooperate with whatever the school administration decides.
As to the police report released earlier this evening, all I can say is that I believe there are some inaccuracies in the police report. Otherwise, I will address that in the future if it becomes appropriate. I'm a team player, and I'll accept what President Hoffman's decisions. While I do not agree with it, I will deal with it like I would expect one of my players to handle his consequences.
Meanwhile, the Boulder Police Department is expected to release a redacted police report today about a sixth incident of sexual assault involving a CU player. The alleged incident happened in August of 2001, although police aren't discussing details until the release of the report, which is expected sometime this afternoon. Federal prosecutors are going after the former CEO of Enron. Jeff Skilling has been named in a 42-count indictment that includes fraud and insider trading charges. In a Houston courtroom today, Skilling pleaded not guilty to all counts. Former Enron accountant Richard A. Cossey has been indicted as well. The U.S. is planning to send a small military team to Haiti to assess the security situation there. The Pentagon made that announcement today, but stressed that Washington is still hoping that the rebellion there can be resolved politically. President Bush says he's optimistic about the future of the country's economy.
We've been through a lot. In spite of that, our economy is strong and it's getting stronger. There's still room for improvement.
With 8 months to go before the presidential election, Bush cited the economic impacts of the 9/11 terrorist attacks and the march to war. In a political event at the White House, the president argued that the economy is rebounding nicely. With Democratic presidential candidates hammering on job losses, the economy is shaping up as a key issue in this election year. Bush praised aggressive tax cuts, and he again urged Congress to make tax cuts permanent. The tax cuts that have been approved in the past 3 years are set to expire at the end of this decade. Just days after being endorsed by the Teamsters, John Kerry is finding himself being backed by another key workers' organization. The AFL-CIO, the nation's largest labor union, endorsed the Democratic presidential candidate today at a rally in Washington, D.C. Motorists in America paying more to get around this week when compared to last week. The Metro Source Price at the Pump survey shows gas prices inched a penny higher over the past week. The national average for self-serve regular unleaded is now $1.65, while premium averaging $1.83. Just before the close of today's trading session, stocks continued mixed. The Dow up nearly 14 points, but the NASDAQ down almost 24. The S&P 500 down about 3. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche both off tonight. Both teams play games out of town tomorrow night. Nuggets head to Orlando to take on the Magic, while the Avs will skate into Dallas to play the Stars. Avs lost their second in a row last night, 5-1 to the Edmonton Oilers. Counting carbs? Try Subway's new salads like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb-controlled dressings. Also try Subway's new carb-controlled wraps. Eat fresh. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
America's war on terrorism.
I know I'll hear about it here first.
Is followed closely by us for you. AM 1150, KNRC. 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 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by the Home Depot. Trying to clear a bit of a problem. Northbound I-25 and southbound I-25 in Hampton, we did have a bus there. The bus should be out of the way. Hampton at I-25, we did see another car stalled. There may be possibly an accident there as well, so watch for that. Everything else, though, is loosening up nicely around the metro area. Have your kitchen cabinets installed and by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot at-home services. Visit your local store today for more info. Trust the Home Depot at-home services. License numbers available upon request. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. Doug Kellett's on 3 to 6 in the afternoons on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our storm system has lost a little of its intensity. The winter weather advisory has been canceled. Temperatures will continue to fall near freezing as we go through the afternoon. Snow showers developing toward this evening, and the snow will continue tonight with about 1 to 2 inches accumulation. We'll drop to a low of 24. Sunshine back tomorrow with a high of 41. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy skies now, 41 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
If it weren't for George Bush and John Kerry, Michael Jackson and Kobe Bryant, what would we have to talk about?
Fucking just get you into trouble.
Don't worry, we're on it. Hear the Who Does What next on Denver's AM 1150 KNRC. From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
2:08, 8 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and tomorrow, I just want to give you a heads up. A lot is going on. First of all, State of Colorado, I think, is tomorrow from 9 to 10 o'clock. John Enslin and Bruce Goldberg will handle that. And Jimmy Lake, he's going to broadcast live from Boulder, the Buffs Barbershop, where they're going to have, where she's having, the whoever owns it is having problems getting their electronic sign going because the city doesn't want it. That's at 13th in Colorado from 6 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So if you're in the neighborhood, show up. I'm going to have as a guest Robert Rubin, the former Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, who his brilliance turned what was a disastrous financial situation for the country into glorious surpluses, which have just been absolutely pissed away by this particular administration. Another reason why we got to get this regime out. But he will be joining us tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. Next week, we are going to be joined by Dr. Gene Bowles. He's a neurosurgeon in Boulder. He just bought the Boulder Dinner Theater, but the reason I am interested in him is that he was practicing, he went over to Landstuhl Regional Medical Center where the Iraqi casualties come in, and he was quoted early in the war as talking about the horrendous injuries that he saw while he was there. He's now back in Boulder, and I want to talk to him. Wednesday, we're going to be joined by Rocky Mountain film critic Bob Dennerstein. We'll be talking about Mel Gibson's new film, very controversial. It's being called anti-Semitic, The Passion of Christ. He will have seen it, and we'll be talking about it. He'll be reviewing it for us. So all of that is coming up next week, and upcoming guests include columnist Ellen Goodman and author John Dunning. So we have lots lined up, and of course more. We have been talking about CU. We have been talking about the big story there, and if you were awake last night, I did a special live edition. I came in at about 10:30 or so last night until midnight. Because I'd been swimming, and as I've said 5 million times, there was a TV set on in the ladies' locker room, and there it was, breaking news, and I thought, holy moly, this is, wow, we got to do something here. So just to let you know, you can rely on AM 1150 KNRC, Jordan Lyles, Justin Kratzer, Billy Thorpe, all of us on it, bringing you news as it unfolds. So we'd just like you to know that when there are big stories, we're here to cover them for you. You may want to comment on the CU scandal, 303-382-1150. There's also other news, believe it or not, but I want to share some of the emails that are coming in, and we're getting a lot of emails. This is from Audrey. Audrey says, as usual, I'm thoroughly enjoying your program. I think we really need to get rid of the whole athletic departments in major colleges. They should be treated as just another department with coaches paid no more than any other college department had. And athletic games, either intramural or just neighboring colleges or as smaller colleges do. And it can work for any college. Just look what former CU president Gordon, is it Gee or G, did at Vanderbilt. He got rid of the football program and says that he raises as much money without it. I think that's the only way this kind of problem can be resolved. What do you think about what Audrey has to say? And here's from Rich in Conifer. Rich says, it looks like the big strong men are finding a way to keep uppity women in their place, serving them, of course. It's no coincidence that athletics and the military are at the center of this. What do you think about that? Is this a way to put women in their place? Are men so threatened that to prove who's really in charge and to prove their real masculinity, that they're really in the testosterone zone, they're doing rapes? Is that the story here? Roberta emails, I too listen to some of the conservative talk. The situation at CU seems to only have happened, if you listen to conservative talk radio, because the women didn't belong there. At the Air Force Academy, the women didn't seem to belong there. There's no doubt that the attitude toward the 40-some U.S. military women who charge they've been raped by fellow soldiers, why aren't we hearing anything about this? Women are raped on campus. They are raped on the street. Women are raped in their homes. Where in the hell, according to these people, do women belong? Keep up the great work. Signed, Roberta. Do you want to comment on this? 303-382-1150.
1150, 303-382-1150. Okay. The number of Americans killed in Iraq is something, the official media tally is something along the, you know, about 528 so far, roughly that, in that neighborhood, let's say 530. But this is, one of you sent this to me, Doug sent this to me, and I want to share this with you. According to a well-placed Pentagon source, the White House and corporate media reporting less than half the actual American military deaths in Iraq. As of February 3rd, the official media total stood at 528. Well, it's probably risen since February 3rd. While the real total at midnight on the same day was 1,188. This criminal discrepancy of the fatality figures is not the fault of soldiers on the ground in Iraq, but of corrupt civilians in the Pentagon working for Paul Wolfowitz, Inc. The Pentagon officer explained it like this. Now, here's how they determine a fatality. If a soldier is completely dismembered by a bomb, then he is dead. Likewise, if a soldier is hit by a full burst of machine gun fire, then he also is dead. The problems start when the medic on the ground is not quite sure whether the injured soldier is dead or not. We all like to save life if possible. So if the medic believes that there is the faintest glimmer of hope, the injured soldier is sent immediately to the nearest medical aid station. The split second that soldier is removed from contact wherever the incident took place, he is officially listed as wounded, regardless of whether he then dies 3 seconds or minutes or hours or days or months later as a direct result of injuries sustained in the contact. Deaths in transit to the U.S. or after soldiers return home are also excluded completely or become accidental deaths. This is how Wolfowitz and his people massage the figures and how the American public is misled. So I don't know if, now, if you are picked up off the battlefield and you die 3 minutes later, or you die an hour later, or you die days later, I would think that that would register as a battlefield fatality, but according to this, it does not. I don't know how true this is. If you have corroborating information, I'd like to hear it. But this is being alleged as to how they're keeping the total as low as it is. And what they're also not mentioning are the horrendous casualties where people live, but they are so maimed that their lives are never going to be the same. And they're in constant pain. They're in constant psychological pain. They're in constant physical pain. And we aren't hearing about these people at all, except that there was a front page story in the New York Times Sunday Magazine last Sunday that detailed the lives of some of these people, and it would make your heart break. 303-382-1150. Let's go with the phones. Madeline on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Madeline?
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Yeah, I ain't it. I'm usually with you 100%, but I'm a little concerned about your tilt on the CU thing. First of all, I think it's first and foremost an NCAA problem nationwide. I think the NCAA has no backbone when it comes to speaking up to some of these big football programs, and I don't think anyone's talking enough about that. I do think what Gary Barnett was stupid. I mean, what he said was stupid. He should have been smarter than that, but he's a coach and not an attorney like Dick Farb, who has silken words.
And has managed to survive a couple of coaches there.
Right. But, to me, the buck stopped at Farb's desk also, on its way to Elizabeth Hoffman's desk. But also, one thing I want to say is that Barnett did say those stupid comments in response to a question. And the TV, neither the TV nor, and I haven't listened to you the whole time, but nor you seem to be saying, you know, he was stupid in his answer, but it was a question, and he did answer it, I assume, honestly. I mean, you know, she wasn't a great player.
Do you recall what the question was?
Yeah, it was how good a player was Katie Nida. I'm paraphrasing because I'm not positive. It was more or less that. That's what I heard. And it's very seldom on the air anymore, but he did say that. He didn't come out blasting her. He came out, you know, talking, and one of the reporters said, how good a player was she? And he said she was terrible. Well, she was
those words have, first of all, he was in the soup to begin with.
Yes, he was.
And those words were the nail in the coffin. They were the straw that broke the camel's back. So even if he said it, and even if they were taken out of context, the impression that they gave was she was so terrible that no wonder she got raped.
Well, that's not, you know, I heard it, and that wasn't my impression, but...
I was stunned. I was actually stunned, Madeline, to hear the quote.
Yeah, I hear you. And I think it was a stupid thing to say. I give you that. The other thing I want to say is that I haven't heard of any allegations, and maybe they'll come out, since 2001. And if that is the case, maybe the culture was improving. Maybe somebody was working on it. Maybe Barnett was working on it.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that there were no allegations after 2001?
Am I wrong about that?
I think you are. I think that the recent recruiting scandal was a little later than that, but maybe I'm not right on the timeline.
Yeah, I'm not positive. I thought it was a more or less around 2001. You know, I mean, I think Barnett was like those monkeys with the eyes, ears, and mouth. He should have run a tighter ship. There's no doubt about it. I can't believe that he didn't know, and if he didn't know, he should have known. But still, I want to be fair, and I think he's the fall guy here. I think Dick Tharp needs to be, you know, Dick Tharp should know what's going on, too. And I think
the whole athletic department needs a top-to-bottom house cleaning.
Well, I think the whole NCAA needs to get with it, and I don't know how to make that happen. But an NCAA really never comes through. I mean, it came down on SMU years ago, but Miami, Nebraska, when they have a player doing something, they give him a hand slap and back he goes onto the field.
Well, so, you're onto something, because in the front page story of the USA Today, they're saying evidence suggests that the scandal at Colorado is not isolated. It's at every school, I'm sure.
If it's in every school, somebody, some reporter ought to do an in-depth study, write a book, write a big article, and, you know, rather than just, say, you know, handling Katie Nida's story, go for the rest of it. I think it's, because I think it is a nationwide problem and not just a Colorado problem.
And a huge problem.
Yes, if it's huge, it needs to be exposed.
I think you're right about that, Madeline. I thank you for making that point. 303-382-1150, that opens up a line. The lines are about full, but there you can grab at somebody, 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Tony in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC. Hi, Tony.
Oh, hi. I always missed that first name. Sorry. I just wanted to call about the recruiting part on top. You know, you're trying to get top athletes, and I don't think top athletes are sexual perverts, and it's just what this all is coming down to. And, you know, most top athletes have to train. There's a lot of discipline involved. And the only thing I can throw into this mix is this aggressive personality would come from steroid use. And I know that's not part of the topic, but there has
so
to be
you
a
are you thinking that in addition to the booze, it's also steroid use? They're not supposed to be using steroids, are they?
Well, I guess I'm saying that there shouldn't be that much drinking. I mean, I know that it goes on. But to be a top-performing athlete, you can't be drinking all the time. You can't be partying all the time. And one thing they do, though, is because of competition, you know, you have to be better. And there's lots of enhancers. There's different types of drugs. And steroid use definitely causes aggressive personality. That just is another factor I just want to throw in.
Let me ask you a question. If you were using steroids and you wouldn't dream of raping somebody, would you suddenly turn into a raping monster?
No, I don't think it's that cut and clear, but... this has gone on in football also, but I think it causes aggressiveness, and from that, you know, overconfidence. I think that whole thing is a part of this. You know, I mean, most guys, I think you want to charm a woman. You want it to be pleasant. You don't want to just
exactly.
I
think more guys women would love to be seduced. That's a big secret. They love to be charmed. And very few guys apparently have the technique or the touchdown. And so I guess the mediocre athletes maybe, you know, somebody called in earlier to say it wasn't the top athletes who were getting in trouble like this. It was the average athlete, the mediocre athlete. It was an interesting thesis. I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I thank you, Tony, for making the point. 303-382-1150. He's saying steroid use might contribute.
Adam, calling from Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, you got a campaign going here?
And let's hope that it sticks. And
tell our listeners what it is.
Well, I started an email campaign in an effort to bombard the president of CU, the chancellor, Governor Owens, Dick Tharp, just bombard these people with phone calls and emails. And quite honestly, I was sitting at work yesterday, and people don't seem to be outraged about this. I am just outraged, and I don't know why more people are not outraged. And let me give you an illustration.
Well, I'm going to tell you why they're not more outraged. Look at what's going on in Washington. People are dying. It's even worse. People are being sent to this bogus war for bogus reasons, bogus tax cut, bogus Medicaid reform, and people are now beginning to get passionate and scream about it. So people are just simply too wrapped up in their own lives, just too wrapped up in trying to get it together.
Well, Enid, you know, there's a lot of ignorance, too. And one thing I would point out is I was talking with a colleague who tried to make the analogy that, gee, why is she coming forward, this Katie Nida, why is she coming forward after 4 years? And he tried to illustrate, you know, if my house is robbed, I'm going to tell somebody about it the next day. And I'm like, you know, you're not, first of all, you're not a woman. And second of all, how do you know what it feels like to be raped?
I wouldn't, in that environment, and if you want to still play on that team, I wouldn't have come forward there. Now it's a lot safer for her. But I thank you, Adam, and I thank you for the, let us know what happens with your campaign.
I hope it goes well, and thank you.
You're welcome. I want to put out the call. Those of you who are typically conservative listeners, those of you who think it's the woman's fault, those of you who think women are getting what they deserve because they're environments that are really only supposed to be for men, I would love to hear from you. I'd like to hear you defend that point of view. 303-382-1150. Joe wants to know, what was she wearing? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Joe, I'm not telling you. Enid Live on AM 1150, KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150, KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter. Told in the key of blues, the new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. According to the Denver Post, these two actresses are as good as anyone doing anything on Broadway. Cookery is a bio-musical that has a life story worth retelling. Great seats are still available. Call today, 303-309-3773. Cookin' at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets are just $40 Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m. Weekend matinees at 3 p.m. Sunday at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale at Tickets West Outlets King Supers by calling 866-464-2626 or call the theater at 303-309-3773.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado. He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC.
Montana with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:27 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about, there is other news, actually, though you would never know it. But what we've mainly been talking about is the CU scandal, what has to happen, the housekeeping that has to occur. Those of you who are conservatives, those of you who are big sports radio listeners and you think that women bring this on themselves because they're in places where they don't belong, I really particularly want to hear from you. 303-32-1150. Elizabeth, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello?
Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to call. I wanted to call you yesterday and wasn't able to get through, and I turned it on just now, and I thought, I've got to try again. I went to a really small college with a Division I hockey team, and what I wanted to just comment on is I think that this happens a lot more places than people know, and while I don't know that it goes so far as recruiting prostitutes and getting, you know, having these big parties, I just think there's some sort of culture out there where women are into these popular athletes, and the athletes think that they can do whatever they want.
So are you saying that the women bear responsibility here as well?
No, I don't think the women do. I think the culture, I think the administrations at the universities very much do, and I think that the women get themselves in situations that are unfortunate, and they get it for the wrong reasons, but I certainly don't think that they're to blame at all. But I think it's so amazing. I'm not from Colorado originally, and it's been amazing to me how much this has been news here for the last few weeks, and in the paper, you know, way more than I'd like to read about it. And I don't think it's that unusual.
Well, no, I don't think it's unusual. I think it's happening in a lot of schools, and I think there's a tremendous amount of corruption in college sports. And here is the NCAA, which professes to be shaken by charges that sex and booze are used in recruiting, but who are they kidding?
Well, I just remember high school kids coming up, you know, hockey players from prep schools coming up, and they definitely were sleeping with, you know, college students, and they were definitely drinking, and they were definitely 16 and 17. And, you know, it's to me, but nobody thought that was strange. And the girls even liked the recruits. They didn't even have to be actual college hockey players. And I just think it's kind of strange that the guys thought that was okay and that the girls thought it was okay, too, until, you know, maybe they regretted something.
Right.
But I just wanted to point that out because I think it seems that right now this is the whole entire world is Colorado football. And I really think it happens a lot of places because women idolize these athletes and the athletes think they can do whatever they want.
I thank you for the call, Elizabeth.
Sure.
And thanks for making that point. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Tony, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Tony.
Oh, hi. How
hi, welcome.
Hi, I just wanted to call because I listen to your show a lot. I'm a first-time caller, so.
Oh, yeah, are you a first-time caller?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, we have something for you. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Anyway, I'd love to talk about two morons, the one in the White House and Coach Barnett, but we only have time for one today, Coach Barnett. The thing is,
we should call them not morons, but lessons.
Yes. The thing that's most amazing to me is this guy gets on, makes this comment about this young lady, and as head coach, if he felt that way about her abilities, why didn't he just cut her?
Well, politically, maybe he says that he tried to support her. Politically, maybe it wasn't possible. And why didn't she return? Maybe they did cut her.
That's not what I understand. But somebody ought to ask that question.
Yeah.
If you go back to real coaches, I mean, true coaches.
What he might have done was to create an environment that was so hostile to her that she finally just walked out.
Well,
and there's that possibility,
right,
too.
Right. But if you're a strong coach, let's go back to one of the strongest coaches of all time, Vince Lombardi. You don't put up with that because if the player can't play, you cut him. But you don't say what this idiot.
Yeah, but there would be it would be political suicide for him to cut the only woman.
Well, then he's not a strong coach. Then
well,
he's even more of an idiot than I thought.
If you hold the idiotometer over his head, I don't know what will happen. Could be that the needle will go off into the red zone. We don't know. But
right,
Tharpa's got to go too.
So exactly, I agree totally. I mean, they have a total house cleaning there, and that's got to happen, and if it doesn't happen, then that's just a total disaster.
Well, what are you saying is a total disaster?
If they don't house clean the whole universe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we have to. And the NCAA talks about being shocked at these charges. Give me a break.
Oh, give me a break. And if anybody thinks if a woman has enough talent to play a sport, I don't care what sport it is, she's got the right to play that sport. Now, I don't care if it's male or female. If you don't have the talent, fine. Then you don't play. You get cut. But if you have the talent, you have the right to play.
Tony, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Kevin, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
I have a few topics I want to bring up. Number one, I'm one of them conservative individuals who you say, I don't believe women belong in football. If I had a daughter, one of the main things I'll be looking out for her is her safety. She's in football, okay? She's going against 350-pound linemen. I don't know how much she weighs, probably at 140. She's going to get hurt. She's going to get injured if she gets hit one time by these big linemen.
So if a woman doesn't belong in football, should she be raped?
No. Number one, it's an allegation. Okay, you don't know if it's false or you don't know if it's true.
Well, for the purposes of the conversation, there are an awful lot of allegations somehow surfacing at CU. If you're in playing football, you're a woman in a sport that you think women don't belong in, should she be raped?
No, she should not be raped, okay? You don't know that. Okay, these are only allegations. It's just weird. If you sit there and look at the situation.
But it sounds to me like you're not believing these allegations, Kevin.
Well, I'm not judging it. Okay, I don't have all the evidence in front of me. Okay, this is what she said. It's sort of weird that she reported to SI. I agree with your previous caller that not all women are going to sit there and report rape, but it's a case-by-case basis when it comes to rape, because some individuals are raped by their family members and don't want to go tell the police, okay? But in this case, she's raped by a football player, my own teammate.
Right.
You would think she would feel so violated that she would end up doing something about it.
I can understand why she wouldn't have said anything publicly, although her father apparently approached the coach and Dick Tharp. And told them that there was definitely a problem in a hostile environment for her.
Okay, but that's what goes on in guys' locker rooms. Okay, guys sit and joke. Guys make some comments that they have no business making. They make them to each other. It is one of the things. It's a locker room thing. It's a male thing. Okay, and she's in that type of environment. That's what she's going to get. She's going to sit there. And
no,
get
she talking. You're talking about guys who groped her. You're talking about guys. These are the allegations that they groped her, that somebody who had an erection was rubbing up against her, that she was raped. I mean, give me a break here, Kevin.
And they told all this to the coach.
And you don't want to believe any of it.
No,
I said for purposes of the conversation. Now here, I set the parameters out. I said for purposes of the conversation, let's assume that what she's saying is the truth, because there are five or six other people coming forward with similar kinds of stories.
No, their stories are different. Okay, nothing about groping. Okay, I'm just talking about the whole rape. She does not deserve to be raped, okay, and something should be done about it if the evidence says that it was. I'm just very careful about when people make allegations.
I know, but you don't want to believe that this is true. That's the story here, Kevin.
I'm not believing it's false.
From the tenor of your conversation, I think you think that women don't belong there, and whatever happens to them,
I answered your question. I answered your question. And saying that women don't belong is football. And the reason is because it's a safety issue. It's a safety issue about her getting hit by these players.
I guess it must be a safety issue for men, too, since they can't control their instincts enough to keep their pants zipped up. We're going to disagree on this one, Kevin. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Joseph in Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing well.
The comment that the coach said, and I understand some other player that I think I saw on television, it might have been a bit groggy, that she didn't belong on the team and she was a bad player. First of all, when your world comes crashing down around you and all the abuse that she did suffer, and I'll reiterate, she did suffer, anyone's performance will go down.
Okay.
Excuse me?
Okay.
And if these things did not happen to her, as the Sports Illustrated interviewer stated, she wasn't as vibrant as she was the year before.
So you're saying that the hostility finally got to her?
Basically, it'd get to anybody, male or female alike.
All right, Joseph, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150, KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Ina. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 40 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Xantrex 3. The winter storm that was expected to wallop the metro area has weakened and is actually moving south of the metro area. The National Weather Service has canceled the winter weather advisory for the Denver metro. We still could see up to 2 inches of snow, though, by midnight. Boulder police have now released a 16-page police report regarding another incident of sexual assault that may have been committed by a University of Colorado football player. The latest allegation occurred in August of 2002 and makes the sixth sexual assault allegation against CU football players. Frontier Airlines continues to expand, with the airline now adding flights to Philadelphia from Denver and Los Angeles. There will be 2 daily flights from DIA to Philly. Frontier estimates that 60% of the passengers to Philadelphia will be business travelers. In sports, it's a night off for both the Colorado Avalanche and the Denver Nuggets tonight. They'll both be on the road tomorrow, with the Avs in Dallas to play the Stars and the Nuggets in Orlando to meet the Magic. What's the number one diet pill in America? Xantrex 3. Rapid weight loss, incredible energy, and one amazing super pill. Xantrex 3 at stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
AM 1150 KNRC is your breaking source for news, talk, and information regarding the scandal involving the CU football program. Wednesday night, thanks to our News 4 partnership, we carried live the news conference of CU President Betsy Hoffman.
We have placed head football coach Gary Barnett on administrative leave with pay, pending the outcome of the internal investigation and the independent investigating committee.
And later, football coach Gary Barnett.
I sincerely regret that yesterday a portion of my remarks were either misinterpreted or taken out of context. And I apologize for answering that question in a manner where I must have come across as insensitive.
Then AM 1150 Zena Goldstein did a special live local talk to get your reaction to the breaking story.
Gary Barnett said things that I was just amazed. It was so inappropriate. However he may have felt. Charles calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
He's not taking responsibility for it and should have been fired.
We're serving you with the best radio talk in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Bank One. And pretty quiet drive now. We got all our other accidents out of the way. Still a little bit slow southbound 225 as you're making your way to I-25, but that's really about the worst part of the drive right now. Speeds are on the high side. This week only, find out how you can earn United miles. Good on Ted and United Airlines at Bank One. See your Bank One dealer and banker now, because next week's too late. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Doug Kellett on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our storm system losing a little bit of its strength means we won't get quite as much snow as we first thought, and it looks like most of anything that we do get will be south of I-70. A couple of inches accumulation. Those snow showers will be forming this evening. Temperatures, though, are going to continue to fall down to around freezing through the day today, then on down into the lower 20s as the snow showers continue tonight. Sunshine comes back tomorrow with highs in the low 40s, clouds in mid-40s on Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy skies now, 42 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
If your kids play sports, make sure they wear plastic protective gear, like a batting helmet when they step up to the plate.
Whoa!
And for hockey, soccer, football, rollerblading, there's plastic shin guards, shoulder pads, helmets, and mouth guards. And for the boys, whatever sport he's playing, make sure he's got a plastic cup in his athletic supporter. He'll thank you. His children will thank you. His children's children will thank you. Plastics make it possible. The American Plastics Council.
If other businesses were like Walgreens Pharmacy, they'd be open 24 hours a day, too.
Hi, I'm Sandy with 24 Hour Realty.
We have to be quiet because the current owners are asleep.
Oh, okay.
Because at Walgreens, you can get your prescription from any of our 24 Hour pharmacies anytime, day or night.
During the day, this room gets lots of light.
Unfortunately, most businesses aren't open 24 hours.
This is the master bedroom.
Hey, what's going on?
We're just looking at your bathroom. Pretend we're not here.
Walgreens. Why go anywhere else?
KNRC. Market Watch.
A late-day sell-off dragged all of Wall Street's major averages into the red. This follows a bigger-than-expected drop in weekly jobless claims and a bigger-than-expected rise in the index of leading economic indicators. The Dow Industrials lost 7 points to 10,665. The Nasdaq fell 31 points to 2046. The S&P 500 slid 5 points to 1147. Big board volume was about 1.5 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by a roughly 5-3 margin. Just out, Hewlett Packard met quarterly profit estimates. HP stock up 35 cents before that news. And Walmart was the Dow's bright spot, climbing $1.18. Goldman Sachs has upgraded the discount retailer after it met quarterly profit estimates. Walmart's CEO also was optimistic about this year. Once again on Wall Street, the Dow was down 7 points. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hear more live weekend talk than any Denver radio station. Listen for Ben Ferguson live Sunday nights at 6 p.m. exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:43 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. Let's go right to the phones and to Keith on a cell. Hi, Keith. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Just to clear the air, I'm a conservative, football fan, pro college. Please do not think the conservatives condone what happened up there. I am appalled at what happened at CU, and they should all be gone. So, just so you know, us conservatives don't think like that.
Okay, I'm delighted to hear that, because I'm hearing reports from people who are listening to the Walmart across the way that are blaming the women, that women don't belong in these environments, so pretty much they deserve what they get.
No, I disagree with that. I think I find that appalling.
Okay. I thank you for the call. With us in the studio, my producer, Joe Anderson. I wanted, because of this headline in USA Today about the NCAA being shocked that sex and booze are used to recruit players, I wanted to ask you, why is it so important? What are the pressures that are brought to bear when the NCAA is involved?
Ain't it? It's a big, big economy, billions of dollars. You know, they think it helps recruit, you know, not just athletics, but, you know, student involvement. I want CU and, you know, your school, Michigan, and, you know, they have big-time athletic programs, and they like to tout that, and it brings in a lot of money to the schools.
All right, let me ask you some questions. When you've got a winning team, I can see that it would bring in a lot of revenues. A lot of the alums would be more inclined to contribute. The ticket sales would be higher. What other pressures would the NCAA bring to bear?
That's basically it, Ian. It's money.
But what about the bowl games? What are some of the other issues?
Bowl games and, you know, like I said.
They're behind all those bowl games?
The
college
bowl games, yeah. It comes down to money. You know, there's a certain elite class of bowls that all Division I teams try to, Division I-A, that like to get to. They're called BCS, the Bowl Championship Series, and they pay out millions of dollars for that team to get into that bowl.
All right,
bowl.
I would say that the Rose Bowl is probably one of those, right?
Yeah, the Rose Bowl.
Let's say your team wins in the Rose Bowl. What do they get?
I don't have the exact figures, but it's millions of dollars, and, you know, a lot of it goes back into the you know, athletic thing, but, you know, a lot of it goes towards scholarships and other things like that.
But the school itself walks away with a pile of money.
A pile of money, exactly.
So
even after all the costs of sending the team out there and, you know, sending a pep band out there and the coaches, because we're talking, these are huge departments, you know, between the staffing and the team itself. I mean, football teams, they have 80 players just on scholarship alone, and, you know, don't quote me on that, but, you know, that's my impression. So, I mean, this big staffs, you know, that travel, they use up a lot of money, but they can, if they're winning, they also bring in a lot of money.
So that's the pressure. Huge amounts of money. Okay.
And it's like, you know, follow the money. And, you know, they also, you know, they throw, it helps, you know, with recruiting, you know, world-class students, and helps research and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, it's just money.
It's
a big business, and, you know, I'm a college football fan. You know, I love watching, you know, Pac-10 and Big Ten football, and, you know, paying attention and watching the games on Saturday, and I think it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I'll buy, you know, University of Montana gear, since that's where I went for a while. And, you know, it's a
All right, there we have it. Joe Anderson, my producer, thank you for an illumination on what and some of the pressures, the NCAA pressures on schools. It's all about the money. Follow the money.
That's basically what it is. You know, it's a business, you know. They've been talking about, you know, paying the players, and I'll just say I think it's great. Just make it like they have minor league baseball. Just use kind of the colleges as a minor league football, you know.
And an education would be secondary.
Yeah.
All right.
Might as well.
Thank you, Joe Anderson, for illuminating us. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Jeff from Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, I'd fire Barnett for many different reasons than just that race stuff. If he had the advantage of having sex parties for recruits, he didn't get any recruits, so therefore he's allowed to recruit her. I'd fire him for that.
Would fire him for what? I'm not hearing it.
He had a lousy recruiter. He had a lousy recruitment program. He had all these so-called advantages and still couldn't get any top. He couldn't get the top players in his state here, let alone throughout the country. So I'd fire him for that. That's just my personal reason. But second of all, why is it that women think that they're supposed to be able to do or compete in any sport men compete in? I just don't understand why they feel they have to be able to do that.
So you don't think they belong in these sports?
No. No, flat out no. I mean, if she's a kicker, there'll come a time when she would kick the ball off and maybe have to make a tackle. She won't be able to do it.
She's a kicker. She just kicked Barnett's ass. And, you know, he can diss her all he wants, but he's the one in the hot seat now.
He should have cut her. It's like the other guy said, she wasn't able to play the game.
So you think, Jeff, let me see if I understand this. You don't think women belong in certain sports?
Of course I don't. Just like guys don't belong in certain
Should
sports.
Women play basketball?
With women.
But not with men?
Oh, no.
Women don't belong on football teams. Do women belong in the military, as far as you're concerned?
No.
No. So if they get raped, they have it coming?
No.
Okay. All right.
It should have been a race day. That was ridiculous. I'm not gonna concede that.
But you just don't want to see. You don't. Do you want to see women in the Air Force Academy and the service academies?
That's a hard question. If a woman's physically able to do what her job entails, yeah. But if it's not, she's not.
Should there be women? Should there be women firefighters? Should there be women police officers?
That's a hard question too. If they can do the job.
What about a woman? What about a woman president, Jeff?
If she can do the job.
If she can, well, you know what? We got a real low bar in the White House right now. I thank you for the call. 303-382-11. I could be president. If that's the bar, I could be a better president. Heidi, calling from Brighton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I just wanted to make a point that I think that we've got so many low ideals in this country, in as far as that. We've raised all sports people to like a godlike level that there's nobody who can achieve this kind of superior feeling other than people that are in sports. But these players have this feeling that they can do no wrong. They can do whatever they want to do. And it's incorrect. And in as far as women in sports and in the military, you look at Israel, who's always had women in the military. And, you know, women just need to be accepted, and sometimes if they want to play sports, they should be allowed to. And maybe we have to get some other people out there who people will adore or idolize a little bit more than
Well, I think what happens, Heidi, and I thank you for the call, I think what happens is that you've got these football players who have been treated like gods, and they start acting like it, and they feel like they're really entitled, and they can do whatever they want. And then you have women adoring fans who are adding to that impression, and things go wrong, and it turns ugly. But I think this business about – somebody called in earlier today, and I'm still thinking about that comment, that the good athletes don't do this kind of thing. It's the mediocre athlete or the average athlete that might engage in some of this bad behavior, some of this despicable behavior. And I'm just wondering whether there isn't this whole business about – veering from, I'm such a godlike personality, I'm entitled to get whatever I want, and if I can't get it by persuasion, I'll rape my way to the conclusion that I'm looking for. And I wonder how that isn't also affected by feeling really not very good about yourself. So you swing from one end, which is, women, you know, I'm having to compete with women and they're dominating something or other. And then feeling that you're too, in other words, if you're going on the pendulum from feeling not good enough to feeling better than everybody else, neither one of those ends of the pendulum are the truth. The truth is somewhere in the middle. So there's a lot of complexity going on. And in some ways, they're acting out in what's a larger current that's happening in the society. But this corruption, this is like a part of the university that's taken out of context and fed steroids, called the athletic department, because of all the money that's involved. If you heard Joe Anderson, my producer, talking about the NCAA, the pressures that come to bear on athletic departments, huge amounts of money, huge contributions that you can count on from alums who are happy with what the athletic department is doing if it has a winning season, and so on. So you have something out of the university, something in the Greek ideal. It was good mind, good body. So you've taken the good body part of it. It's just for an elite few athletes. You've put the thing on steroids, and it runs the rest of the university. And look at the level of corruption that we are seeing. 303-382-1150. Joan on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. Yeah. First, I need to make a comment that, rape is never, never deserved, and the woman is never in the wrong. I just have to clarify that. But I think that if you take away all responsibility from the woman, you take away all control as well. And what you're saying then is that women can't help any of the situation. And I don't think that's true. I think that people can get themselves into certain situations, and again, not be at fault for the outcome, but had they thought about it before, maybe it would have been wiser to stay away from the situation.
Well, I agree with you there. I said there is a shared responsibility. If you're going to be make yourself so vulnerable because you're loaded,
right,
whether it's on drugs or whether it's on booze, you're going to put yourself in a very bad position for things to happen. You wouldn't get behind the wheel of a car. You shouldn't put yourself in a situation where you can't handle it. If
right.
something should occur, if someone else is acting badly, you make yourself very vulnerable. So, no, in that respect, Joan, I agree with you, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Listen up, men. Insight, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement, powers into 2004 as a NASCAR team sponsor. And now, while supplies last, Team Insight is giving away free 30-day samples. To get a free 30-day sample box, just log on to 4insight.com. That's the number 4, E-N-Z-Y-T-E.com. Or call 1-800-778-5290. Look for the number 50 car and experience natural male enhancement with a free sample box of Insight. Call 1-800-778-5290. 1-800-778-5290.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Arvada Center for the Arts and Humanities announces its 2004 summer camp programs. Session lengths will vary from 1 to 5 weeks during the months of June, July, and August. These inspiring and creative camps offer experiences for kids aged 6 through 18 in studio photography, hands-on clay, drama, orchestra, dance, and more. To register or request a complete catalog, call the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200 or visit the website at arvadacenter.org.
Ball Aerospace, a leader in the aerospace and defense industry, is looking for engineers. Apply today at ballaerospace.com. For more details, see the Sunday Denver Post or visit postnewsjobs.com.
For 12 years, the Radio Disney All About Kids Expo has provided exciting and fun entertainment for the whole family. Mark your calendar now for Saturday, February 21st and Sunday, February 22nd to be at the Colorado Convention Center for this great kids event. Showcasing games such as the Diver Derby, miniature golf, and other great kids activities, the Expo features non-stop interactive fun for kids ages 1 to 14. Admission for kids 14 and under is free with a paid adult. For more information on the All About Kids Expo, go to www.all-about-kids.org.
This is Michael Reagan. Stay tuned. My show is coming up at 6:05 following Doug Kellett on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:55 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Justin Kratzer called in with this comment from Sports Illustrated. Coach Gary Barnett made the comment in SI at Feb 23 edition. I can't write down, he said, all the things players will encounter outside of campus. I have to rely on a basic set of values. Well, 303-382-1150. Decker calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I'm calling about, there's a book called The Stronger Women Get,
the more men love football.
What does that mean, Decker?
Subtitled Sexism and the American Culture of Sport.
Hmm.
And it's actually copyrighted in 1994, so this problem has been around for a long time.
So in other words, the more women threaten men, the more they retreat into football and places where the inner sanctity is all male?
Yeah, I think that's part of her thesis, and that they are challenged. And, of course, part of the rape business is power and saying a way of saying you don't belong here.
Well,
that spills over into the services and the Air Force Academy problem and those kinds of things.
And we'll show you who's in charge.
Pardon?
And we'll show you who's in charge.
Right, yeah.
What do you think should happen at CU?
Oh, boy. I haven't listened to your whole show because I've been doing errands, so it's in and out. But I tend to agree with people who say everybody needs to be fired. But it takes a long time to overcome a culture like that. Because even if they're fired, the residue is in the present football players.
You know, you're right about that. It will take a long time to overcome the residue of that culture. Decker, I thank you very much. Thanks for the title of that book. I think there's probably a lot of truth to it. I want to just give you a heads up. First of all, tomorrow, Jimmy Lake, he's going to be broadcasting live from Boulder, the Buff's Barbershop, where putting in a electronic sign of the barber pole or something is causing a lot of community consternation. So if you're in the area, 13th and Colorado, between 6 and 9 in the morning, stop by and be part of the show. Also from 9 to 10 tomorrow morning, State of Colorado, hosted by John Enslin and Bruce Goldberg. There'll be a roundtable of reporters, the equivalent, the audio equivalent of a reporter's notebook. So put that on your calendar tomorrow. We will be joined by former Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin. He's going to be my guest in the 2 o'clock hour. He's written a new book called In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices, From Wall Street to Washington. And again, on Monday, we're going to be joined by Dr. Gene Bowles. I'm very much looking forward to this interview as well. He just bought he lives in Boulder. He bought the Boulder Dinner Theater. I was very interested in these. He's a neurosurgeon. In these interviews with him, because he was running the neurosurgery at Landstuhl Regional Medical Center and all the Iraqi casualties coming into him and the heartbreaking observations that he had to make. I'm very interested to hear what he has to say. And we'll also be joined on Wednesday by Bob Dinnerstein, the Rocky Mountain film critic, all about Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ, a film that is very controversial, said to be anti-Semitic. We'll see what he has to say about that. Joe Anderson, thank you very much for producing the show and for your comments about the NCAA enlightening us. Jordan Lyles, thank you for keeping us on the air, your technical direction, and for helping us take all the feeds yesterday as the press conferences were coming in live. Doug Kellett up next from 3 to 6, 6 to 9, Michael Reagan. Start your day with Jimmy Lakey, 6 to 10. 10 to noon, Bill O'Reilly. I'll see you tomorrow, noon to 3. Let's have lunch together. It'll be a fabulous Friday. I'm Enid Goldstein. Do something generous, will you? Leave the world a better place than you found it and clean up some mess, even if it's small.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 43 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by HP Business Printers. The National Weather Service in Denver is now saying that we may not see as much snow as originally expected. The Weather Service is now saying the storm has weakened and only 1 to 2 inches expected possibly by midnight tonight. The Weather Service has also canceled that winter weather advisory for the Denver metro area. More bad news for the University of Colorado. Boulder police have released a report on yet another allegation of sexual assault at the hands of a CU football player. The latest allegation occurred in August of 2002. According to the 16-page report, the alleged victim said she had been drinking at a Boulder bar and began talking to two black men. She remembered only that the men were black and that they could have been football players because they were, quote, big guys. She said that she had very limited memory of leaving the bar and wasn't sure how she got home. The woman told police she woke up the following morning in her bed wearing only a shirt. Her other clothes were on the floor, as was an open condom wrapper, and she was bleeding. This makes for 6 sexual assault allegations against CU football players. Colorado Representative Marilyn Musgrave may soon enjoy a major endorsement. President Bush's political director has reportedly told a group of prominent conservatives that Bush will soon publicly endorse Musgrave's proposed constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. But White House spokesman